It's Friday!
Yes, it most certainly is, and it's a happening Friday. It's a Friday unlike any other Friday on the front porch we've ever had here at the Horn, because this is, in fact, a live and an in-person Friday on the front porch. Let's see. Let's do all the things that we have to do. I don't want to get. I can't let things get away from me. First thing we have to do, of course, because it's, well, every program here at the Horn starts with gratitude, and so consequently, we have thanks to send out for this third day of June 2022 to our third day of June subscribers, our second day of June subscribers, and our first day of June subscribers. So that means thank you ever so kindly. Thank you to Michael, and thank you to John. Thank you, Bill in Allentown. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you to Mick. Thank you, Jean and Ann across the pond. Thank you to Rocco and to Elizabeth. Thank you so much. Thanks as well to Peter. Thank you, Peter. I got your note. Thank you to Joseph. Thank you to Chris. Thank you to Tom in sunny San Rafael. Thank you to Mark. And thank you to Rusty. And thank you very, very kindly to Max. Thank you all so much for being partial sponsors of the program. This is the first broadcast of the brand new month of June, and like I said, this is a broadcast like no other. I mean, we've done remotes, we've done things out on the road and whatnot, but we have never had an honest to goodness, no kidding, horn in. I've been talking about this for at least a decade, an opportunity to bring people that I've heard from, heard about, talked to, wrote with, and have them all together in the same room. And we will get into the details of this, but my heavenly days, I think Odysseus leaving Troy had an easier time getting back to, what was it, Ithaca, than folks like Ralphs and Tara had getting here. Dave in San Diego is here with us and drove from San Diego. Tamara, you were talking about getting Sandra. I'm such a dippy little blonde. I should have just said, hey, hitch a ride with David. And David drove. You started Tuesday,
yeah,
and got here Thursday evening. And Roger and Patricia are here. Tim and MJ are here. I mean, dig this. This just blows my mind. We have David from California. We have Tim and MJ from Iowa. Ralphs and her sister Susie are here from New Jersey. Ralphs, formerly of Wisconsin.
My sister's from Maine.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. Susie is from Maine. My goodness gracious. We've almost got all four of the cardinal points of the compass covered here. Roger and Patricia are here, of course, formerly of Humboldt County, but now of Oregon. Tara Devlin, the fabulous, the wonderful Tara Devlin, is here from the borough of Queens in New York. I can't see. Oh, yes. Thank you. Hillbilly girl me. We were hoping that Chris in Germany would be here, but that didn't work out for it. Chris, we miss you. We miss you terribly. And this evening was our first big meal. I've been cooking since last weekend. Still cooking, as a matter of fact. I'm gonna be passing out food as people are driving away, I swear. But I've had so much fun playing around out in the yard. I got my pale pink hide burned quite. I hit record, Asa. Thank you. But thanks for the reminder. I did. I really did. I hit record. Let me go ahead and kill the thingamajig here, and that way. Yeah, we're recording. It is definitely recording. Definitely recording. Definitely slow in the driveway. Recording. Let's see. Tonight's dinner is the smoked brisket and smoked turkey, and we have courtesy of my dear friend Ging. We have spring rolls, and we have this beautiful tofu, sweet and sour vegetables, and Annette made for this evening, an absolutely mind-bendingly delicious Greek macaroni salad, and yum. So we're pretty well set. Tomorrow's going to be the pulled pork and some other shilly-shallying and deliciousness. But like I said, it is the first broadcast of the month, and thank you, Ralph, for reminding me. Usually that happens on the first day of the month, but this is the third. And so consequently, Bruce's Memorial Challenge is on the table this evening. Ralph's and Chris in Germany and an anonymous friend provide the matching money to get us off to a good start at the beginning of the month. So basically, if we can raise $300 this evening, we'll cover the beginning of June, and that will be tremendous, and that'll actually get us it'll buy a little breathing space as we face the bills for the first of the month, because Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and semi-literate itinerant rabbi who wore a dress every day of their life, said, "The poor ye have always with ye." Well, I guess I qualify as that, but the bills ye have always with ye. So hopefully, if you want to help out, run over to the PayPal button, or there's Venmo, we always love to have new Patreon subscribers. But what I really want to do is get the conversation started, and just get some helloing done. Like I said, this has been a dream of mine almost since the beginning of the program itself, which was the internet-only version was October 24th, 2005. And I love bringing people together from disparate places and disparate backgrounds and see what we can find in common and see just see what kind of camaraderie and collegiality and community we can build. So, Tara, would you please be so kind as to come over here? Silly blonde girl me thought I had the rig packed with all the mic cords I could possibly need. Got over here from the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion, and found out that, no, I was short a couple of microphone cords. So this evening the microphone is the talking stick. and so what we'll do is at sword point or whatever is necessary, we will bring everyone is going to talk on this program one way or another. Even if I have to make Ralphs scream across the room, we're going to hear from Ralphs. Roger, meanwhile, is in the Skype chat and has been communicating and letting people know that, no, I was not playing hooky. No, I was not laying out that this was going to happen. By the way, Tara has now. Is one of the few people we went deep up into the holler, past a couple of places where people were sitting on bridges playing banjos, and Tara has now seen the fabulous Kincaid Mansion, the magnificent parapets with the flags fluttering amazing. From a top. No,
I was transported back into. Back to the old South or something.
Oh, absolutely,
yes.
and
I almost thought Tara. Wait, no, that not Tara. Who's the one? That bitch. I thought she was coming down.
You mean Scott? Miss Scarlet? Yes, Miss Scarlet. The hangar is there where we keep the Gulfstream 5. The garage next to it is chock full of Maybachs.
And someone was going to come out screaming about birth and babies. And,
Well, I'm a West Virginian. I can make West Virginia jokes. Shorty got a pretty mouth.
No,
I should not do that. But it is so nice to have you here, to have Ralphs and Susie and Roger and Patricia and Tim and MJ and David. And you know what? I don't know. I'm going to turn it. Is this worth maybe thinking about doing again? I mean, this is the first time I've done it, so I admit I was kind of. I hadn't done anything like this since I catered a wedding 29 years ago.
Wow.
And it's been a heck of a. But
are
I've
they
enjoyed
still
myself.
Together, the couple?
No. He died.
Come on. What's her excuse, though?
Yeah. So. Let's just to get it, and of course here in a little bit, it's Friday on the Front Porch, so we will go over the river and through the woods to the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves, wherein we keep the extraordinary, ordinary round table around which we gather each and every Friday, including this one, which is the most probably miraculous of all Fridays on the Front Porch thus far. But I have to ask, Tara, because, you know, city girl.
Did you introduce my name and all?
Yes, I did.
Oh, you did? Yeah, yes, where was I?
And there. Yeah, I said the one and only, the fabulous Tara Devlin.
Oh, that's great. Thank you. I appreciate that. No, because
of Tara Buster.
Yes, Tara Buster. You know. And, please become a patron.
Yeah, absolutely. Please do.
Just kidding.
You
that's
may
be on my
no, you're
tombstone.
Not kidding.
I'm really not kidding.
Yeah, if we were, you know, and then, you know, for the YouTube people, press like and subscribe.
Yes. Hit that notification bell.
Yeah, hit that bell. See, I don't do the YouTube stuff, so I don't really.
No, you got. I mean, YouTube is great. Anyway.
Well, whatever. One of these days, if we, and.
So what were you going to ask before I?
I was just
going to.
Okay, let's start from the beginning. Like I said, people coming here Odysseus had it easier coming home from Troy.
Oh God, yes.
So let's start with your. Your nightmare journey out of Gotham.
Well, it was just interesting because they didn't have pilots. That was the problem. I thought I had set up the best connections. You know, it was going to be lickety split, and I was going to be, and then it turned into the worst.
Yeah, with machine-like efficiency, you booked your flight.
It was going to be amazing, and then it turned from the best to the worst, and I was like laid over everywhere.
So you said they didn't have pilots. So
they didn't have
somebody
pilots.
Somebody was standing outside JFK, going, "Hey, buddy, you want to fly a plane?
Exactly. Yeah. Do you know how to fly? You know how to fly?" It was like, you know, a scene out of a disaster movie. Anybody know how to fly a plane? They came running out of the office.
Tommy, have you ever seen a grown man naked?
Right. Well, it wasn't that bad. But they actually were calling around that's what they were saying. At least, you know, they admitted it. But it was kind of bizarre. And, you know, we were discussing.
Oh, you and I were texting all along the way, and you were like, there's a pilot shortage. And I'm like, what, are they off with the baby formula?
Really? Exactly. But it was like, you know, pay people. Pay people living wages. Maybe you'll find some pilots. I don't know. Maybe is that the problem? Because, you know, there's no shortage of fat cat CEOs. That's
no,
for sure.
No, I'm sure the airline CEOs are doing quite nicely, thank you very much.
And then, but you had mentioned that the pilots might have dropped out or whatever because they didn't want to take the shot, the COVID shot. And maybe that's true, you know. But I don't know. God knows what's in the minds of these pilots, really, you know. But it's also, the problem is we do have people who aren't being paid living wages. And you were telling me that the pilots in general might have, what were you saying? Like they make as much as people at Taco Bell?
Years ago, Delta was horribly, horribly embarrassed because it came out that their pilots on the short hops, you know, the little commuter flights, like, you know, Chicago to Indianapolis or whatever, they were pulling down roughly the same money as a manager at Taco Bell.
It's just, I mean, that's just offensive. Is there something wrong with this stream or something?
No, the stream's fine. I'm just
we're not on the call.
I don't know why I'm not on the call.
What do you mean you're not on the call?
It's the Skype group.
Oh. But you're on. You're coming out over the air here.
Yeah. We're on the air at HeadOn.live. It's just a matter of. There.
That?
Thank you. Yes.
Okay.
And there's the happy noise. And let's see if.
Well, anyway, the funny thing happened to me on the way to the lesbian bar.
We're in.
I'm just going to take over the show now. I mean, if that's okay.
I just flew in from New York, and boy, are my arms tired. Yeah. I always love the old Heineken commercial said the Germans are not particularly funny. And it showed the German comedian standing at the mic, and he said,
I just flew in from Hamburg, and boy, are my arms tired.
Okay, I never saw that one.
From the flapping.
Right, don't you
but
get
But they make
it?
Great beer.
Right, yeah. Right.
Okay, so I am connected into the... But before we go to the group and everything, so Ralph's had her own odyssey with Susie trying to get out of... literally, you two are both like... Do the 21st century remake of Escape from New York.
Oh my God! Right.
Let me turn that toward you.
I don't know if people can hear. Get up on the mic. Come on.
Yeah. And morning flight at maybe 6 a.m. or something. They didn't have a crew.
Same thing.
Yeah.
No crew. No
they crew. So they sent us to LaGuardia.
From Newark.
From Newark, which is like over an hour drive.
Oh, yes, 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 definitely.
And so we left. We were able to go from LaGuardia to Washington, D.C., and then we were going to go to Charleston.
Now, originally, were they going to send you from D.C. straight to Charleston?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so that sounds like maybe that's a winner.
Yeah, that's actually a better route.
And so I think we left at around 3 o'clock. And got to, you know, Washington, D.C., maybe 5-ish, something like that. And then we found out that due to weather, air quotes, the plane to Charleston was canceled. So we went to a hotel for the night, and we got up at 3:30 in the morning today.
What?
My eyeballs are bleeding just thinking about that.
And we went to... Charlotte,
yeah.
North Carolina, and that went fine. We went from North Carolina to
Charleston
in an American Eagle mini plane.
Oh my God! Was it one of those? Did it actually have propellers?
I don't think so, but it was like 4 seats across.
Yeah, and tiny little seats, so it was like Interhobbiton.
Yeah. But we got here.
And then he had to drive from Charleston. Tara drove.
Oh God, yes.
Yeah, in the middle of the night.
Yeah, it was a little scary because I was tired too. That's the other thing, and everything's so windy here. So I was just really singing Susie and the Banshee songs and trying to stay awake. Because that's why I was trying to stay awake, because I couldn't, also I didn't want to crash, right. So that would
Susie
suck.
Susie was driving, I was navigating with my iPad that was connected to my iPhone.
Oh my God.
Because we didn't have
that's right.
We're sort of iffy on the connection.
Wow.
So every so often my iPad would say, you know,
abandon hope, all ye who enter here.
Yes.
Or go to Highway 16 or 64 or whatever.
Well, I expected a gnome to jump out at any minute and ask me a riddle. That's at one point, right?
Well, here it can. Or, you know, in the case of here, Mothman.
Right. Oh, that's true. Yes. Mothman.
Yeah.
So we got here around 1 o'clock. Yeah,
today.
1 o'clock.
Today.
And left at 5 yesterday morning. So.
You know, I forget what book it came from, but there was an old one-liner a jillion years ago. And the line goes, "It's like the post office in Brooklyn. Mm. You can't get there from here."
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess based on the experience here, West Virginia is now the post office in Brooklyn. Fortunately, though, Tim and MJ got here with little incident. It took a couple of days, but...
There was a little bit of an incident, but it wasn't anything like these guys went through.
Yeah, I was just, you know, I just needed to sleep. And then I had some weird dreams, but that's a whole other
story. Well, that's just because you're in West Virginia.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, I don't really remember my dreams, but I had a dream recently. I had a dream once where I was naked. I was falling. My teeth were flying out of my skull. All at the same time.
And everyone was laughing, right?
Yeah. Right. They were all laughing at me.
Well, I just got a note from Tom in sunny San Rafael, who says, "Wish I could. Hey, Robin and everyone, wish I could be there. We wish you could too. Maybe next time.
Yeah,
I think there's going to be another one of these.
I hope so. What else? I mean, I got to get out of the tri-state area. So, you know what I mean?
And you know what? You saw some natural beauty today.
Yes, I did.
One of the things that kind of
these eyes actually saw some beauty.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, there, none of that. There's no beauty in the five pearl rows.
And if I see it, it just goes races right into, you know, where I keep my childhood.
But no, we were standing. We went down to the New River. And
it was nice. Oh yeah, we could tell them about that person.
And Tara and I met a wonderful young.
But he's 45.
He's a guy.
We met wonderful guy, young man
wonderful
of
guy
45.
Who was whitewater? He was whitewater rafting in. What do they call it?
I don't know. It was like a critter or something.
Yes, a creature.
Creature crawler.
But it's this wild rubber raft that it's like the Weeble of whitewater rafting. You know, Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Well, these things, you strap into this thing.
Creature craft,
yes.
Yeah, I just looked it up.
And you strap into this thing, and even if the rapids tumble you, it's all and it'll pop back up.
Yeah, so
upright.
You can't go wrong, really.
And so, you know, so you don't drown and die. And so we got to talking, and
He gave me some hope, I have to say.
Wonderful, yeah. Young.
He's
wonderful,
just a guy.
Wonderful guy. And didn't get too deep into politics, but deep enough that he said, you know, we're in a mess,
mm-hmm.
and we are
mm-hmm.
in a mess.
Mm-hmm.
But you know the idea that you know that maybe if we take a deep breath, maybe people can be maybe this country can get a little bit better. But what I love the most was when you said, "It's so quiet here."
Yeah. Well, there's none of that noise. That's the thing. I really, really. It's you could see and you can hear the lack of noise. It is noticeable.
The quiet is a presence.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know if I'm explaining it correctly.
And then we went to the Hawk's Nest Overlook. Yeah, this was all just very...
And there were hawks. There were actually hawks.
There were
hawks,
heard them. Yeah. Yeah, we got there and said, you know, this is Hawk's Nest. And then...
and I was like,
what she doesn't... What she doesn't know is the hawk is on contract. And there was a guy back in the woods who was like, cue the hawk.
And it was like, it's Hawk. I said, this is Hawk's Nest. And I was like, caw. Like... Who are these people? You know, is this like being produced or something?
we do it for the tourists,
right? Yeah. Right. Cue Hawk.
Yeah, big and
cue
you know,
nice guy.
Yeah, right.
Cue the deer.
Right. That's true.
Because there's another road I could have taken you on where almost at any time day or night, there will be two lovely little does standing in the field just quietly grazing. And if you sit there very quietly, you can hear the opening strains of Tchaikovsky's 1812 Overture.
Right.
You know, na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Right. Like an old Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, well, that too.
Mm-hmm.
But it was it's been a very busy couple of days. Roger and Patricia have done a little sightseeing. Did you guys go to Glen Jean at all, or...?
Yeah, which?
Did you guys go to Glen Jean, or where did you sightsee today?
We went to the kind of abandoned rail town.
Oh,
down on the
Thornton?
Thurman.
Yeah.
Thurman.
Yeah, you got Glen Jean and then Thurman.
Yeah.
I don't know how much did you read any of the fun trivia about the place or?
Oh, we actually read all the little signs there at the train station. And then we went up took the car and went up the hill to where the old town had been and looked at some of the dilapidated houses, and some of the houses are still being lived in.
Mm-hmm.
And then we came back and we went to the National Park Visitor Center there at the bridge and looked at the bridge and watched a little movie. And then we decided that we should take the old road where they ripped out the old bridge, and then they've rebuilt it. And the little one-lane winding road that works its way all the way down into the gorge and twists and turns and switchbacks and lots of one-way stretches and that kind of thing. They try to keep people going from the side of the bridge we were on. North, south, east, west is confusing me right now. But anyhow.
They don't mean much around here.
Yeah, we dropped down onto the road and went down and went under the bridge about 5-6 times because the road twists and winds as it works its way down the canyon wall, and crossed the little narrow bridge at the bottom and climbed our all the way back up. Beautiful drive, beautiful hardwoods. You get to see a whole lot of the stratification of the rock here, very unlike the Pacific area where rock is just a big block of rock. And here you get to see these layers and layers and layers of rock. And
yeah, because this was a shallow sea for hundreds of millions of years. It's pity I don't have Miss Terry on the line. She could explain it all. But, you know, and it was laid down in sedimentary layers.
And some of those, very few of them, but some of them laid down enough carbonaceous matter that turned into coal.
Yes.
And
you and Patricia toured the Beckley Exhibition Coal Mine.
We did that
yesterday,
where we went in and we had a fantastic guide on the train that took us in, a fellow who worked in the coal mines for years and was ever so proud that he worked and got both his daughters, graduated from college. One of them's now a nurse, and he's headed off, I guess, to Alaska or something to see his daughter. I don't know whether it's a graduate. Anyhow, he's about to go up to Alaska. Talked about his black lung disease, and it was just one of the things that happened, but he lives with it, and he's 66 years old and doesn't take any medications, and a very entertaining guy. If anybody ever goes through Beckley, I hope you get as entertaining a guide as we had, because it is worth the money to go in. And yeah, you don't go all the way in the mine and you don't see everything that might be there, but it is a very comprehensive, and he described to us how people had to lie on their belly in the muck and dig out underneath and then drill a hole and put in the black powder and blow it down to where it all flaked out and then load it into the coal cars, and a very, very informative tour. And the museum there is quite nice too. They have all kinds of things. They talk about the script, and when I tried to say something to a colored lady in the kitchen of one of the houses that the way the coal mines ran was kind of like slavery, she disagreed with me vehemently.
Well, she should.
Well, her argument was that the coal people, you were always free to leave the mine if you didn't like it, but a slave, you couldn't leave.
Well, wasn't mentioned. Coal mining in Appalachia begins with enslaved people being sent into the holes in Virginia and dying in holes in Virginia. And one of the things that we, Tara and I showed her when we went to the Hawk's Nest Overlook, as I pointed down where the dam is, and I said, that's the source of the greatest industrial disaster in the history of the United States and in the history of the world, frankly, up until Bhopal, and that is the Hawk's Nest Mine disaster. And there were some 3,000 African-American men who came from all over the Southeast. They were recruited, and they came up, good work, and that's where we learned about silicosis. And probably as many or more than 500-600 men died. And I was explaining to Tara the nature of silicosis is you breathe in that dust, and because the lung is a wet environment, when it gets wet,
turns to concrete, as opposed to black. You know, so silicosis turns your lungs into concrete, whereas black lung basically turns your lungs into ash.
Which is what I mean. What a hellish way to die.
I mean, that's the fundamental juxtaposition, the fundamental dichotomy of West Virginia. There's so much beauty, so much absolute magnificence. But once you know the history, you know that there is an overlay of blood.
Right. Well, what I was looking at was the economic number, where you go to work for the coal company. The coal company owns a house. The coal company owns a store. The coal company pays you a script. The coal company makes sure they charge you more, and you end up, I mean, like the song, "Oh, My Soul, the Company Store," that you work for them forever and ever and ever and ever, and you never get any real money. You simply trapped into that. Now, I mean, the fellow that was giving us the tour brought up the fact that if you died and you had a son that was old enough, then he would go to work in the mine and the family could stay in the house, but he inherited the debt of the father.
Yeah. Exactly.
And to me, that total economic number where you work for only your subsistence is very similar to a slave number. You work for your subsistence, and you have to grow your own vegetables as a slave. You had your own little plot there to help feed yourself because the master didn't give you enough to keep you going. So you had to do that plus work for the master. And that was the more the context. It wasn't the involuntary.
I don't think there can really be a comparison, because the difference between chattel bondage where...
Yeah.
Versus an economic form of bondage. I mean, my great grandfather had that same garden, and he raised a pig and a cow every year, and gardened his little plot of land in his coal company house. But my grandfather was a miner at a time where, if you had friends over for dinner, they'd accuse you of unionizing and throw your ass out on the streets. But they couldn't just kill you.
Right, and.
Yes.
And that's a substantial difference. But I mean, I'm so glad that you, and you know, you say you didn't go all the way into the exhibition call. You went far enough.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's terrifying.
Well, it's like when you go into the silver mines in Virginia City, Nevada. You don't go the 5, 6, 7, 8 miles deep into the mountain that the mines used to go.
Right. Yeah.
You see enough to know that it was not a nice place to work.
No, it was, you know, my grandfather died of black lung, and his father-in-law, my great-grandfather, was saying, but I'm awfully glad you're here, and I'm glad you're getting to see some of this place. It means so very much to me.
Oh, and it's beautiful country. Beautiful country.
And one of the things I noticed the other night, I don't know if y'all, we're kind of in town, but the honeysuckle's
I spotted that on our drive where we stopped, and I took a picture of the bridge and from the under and all that. And as I was walking back from when I took that picture, I went, those are honeysuckles. Mm-hmm. And just like I planted some at the house in Oregon. But yeah, they're
blooming. It just grows wild here.
I also noticed that someplace we were, might have been where we had breakfast this morning or along there, they had coleus growing in a flower box outside, a restaurant, store, whatever it was. But they're in a flower box on the street was coleus growing outdoors.
What's that?
Coleus is a multi-variegated colored plant that the leaves are beautiful and people grow it as an indoor plant.
Oh.
And in the Pacific area, it's grown indoors because it does not like any kind of cold.
Oh.
And I'm surprised that it was growing outdoors, but I don't know when your last frost date is here.
I don't know.
You're only safe from your last frost on Mother's Day.
Oh, okay. Well,
maybe they bring it in.
Somehow they were grown indoors and they just put them out because it's now summertime and so they can grow outdoors here.
Well, let me share a couple of emails. Sharon, thank you very much, Sharon. You got us started on Bruce's Memorial Challenge. Sharon said, congratulations on finally getting to do a horn in. I wish I could have been there. But the second best thing is listening to this awesome Friday on the Front Porch. I can't thank you enough for all your incredible knowledge that you share daily. Thank you, Sharon. You are so kind. That's Sharon in Ohio. Thank you so very much. And a note from Tom and Sunny San Rafael. Get over here, David.
A note from Tom and Sunny Sander Fell says, hi, Ron. Wish I could be there. And like I said earlier, we wish you could too. But I didn't get to the central point of Tom's note. But what about the big question you've been priming us for? The grandbaby already there or still on hold? Signed, Tom and Sunny Sander Fell. And that dovetails with a message I got from Tracy, who said, tell her not to do the birth and babies bit. Well, Courtney's trying not to do the birth and babies bit, but, you know. But she is, we are guessing, it could be this evening. It could be overnight. It could be tomorrow. And I think if it's not, then quite possibly they're going to induce on Sunday. That's one of the things that makes us this all exciting. If the balloon goes up, I got to leave. So I'm sitting here waiting. You know, and Annette is not with me. She's grandpuppy sitting right now. And the minute that Ferg tells her, she'll tell me, and then we'll start the countdown. And I'll go get her, take her to Beckley so that she can be in the delivery room for little Lily's arrival. And then we're just gonna wait for a little princess. I hope, but Roger, you're right. You know what you said. What you said last week, she will arrive on her own schedule, precisely at the worst possible time. So, fingers crossed. Okay, David, and we are going to go to the Skype group in short order. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey here and what you saw, what you experienced.
Sure. As you mentioned, I drove from San Diego to West Virginia. It took a couple of days. I guess what really hit me the most, not having been out of civilization, as you call it, in California, a lot, is when I was wearing my mask, you know, getting gas, stuff like that. The amount of just kind of side eye, you know, the Michelle Obama side eye that I got from people, that was a little eye opening. You know, it's not something that I experience every day. You know, in California, where a lot of people wear, you know, a lot of people are still wearing their masks, and you know, I don't know. It's just something that I noticed.
Masking has been a hit or miss proposition. I still mask for things like Walmart, and I've still got to get my booster. And now that hopefully I'm rescheduled to get my booster on the 10th. But people here are convinced it's over, and it's not. I mean, our numbers are alarming here, but you know, at least you know, we're vaxxed. Yeah. So hope for the best. You took that cross-country drive, though, and I remember, you know, I read Jack Kerouac when I was young, and I always wanted to do that great, you know, vast across the continent. So you were by yourself in the car. I mean, were you just jamming, or?
There was a little bit of jamming. There was some podcast listening.
Oh, my God, he's
okay.
Here.
Okay.
Joey and Giraffe and Junior and
Joey to the kangaroo. Yeah, we're gonna put this up there somewhere.
Have just entered the room. Oh my!
We're taking over.
I finally get to meet Jeffrey in person.
Joey is running me for office.
Suspiciously large woman running at large for Supreme Court justice. Vote Robin, not Roberts, for Supreme Court justice. Oh, my God. Oh, hold on.
That's adorable.
Joey, stand there. Hold on.
Everybody gets to stand, but, you know.
Right?
Come in here.
There. Perfect.
And is Joey the kangaroo there?
Hold on. Don't move. Just a minute.
For those on the podcast, there's a lot of selfies happening right now.
For those of you not watching the video that doesn't exist, we have stopped to take photographs on little Joey too. Oh my God!
Makes me miss Tara Junior, Junior, Francis Junior, Junior, and Ray.
Oh, this is beautiful.
However, look here, Tara.
It's all about the cats.
Yeah, this is, if Bill Rick's listening.
Thank you.
It's all about the cats, but
it really. Tara's oh, cats. Look at yes, this. Exactly. Hey, Tara, don't forget, it's all about the cats. Francis Junior, Tara Junior, and Ray.
Isn't that beautiful? Hold on.
We'll take it out of the name plastic.
Oh, well, I mean, that's true. I don't want to...
No, hold it up. Wait.
Hold on.
Yay! Oh, what?
You're so thoughtful.
Little Joey.
Oh.
You're so goddamn thoughtful.
Oh,
Joey. What else the hell could do in Ohio?
Don't make me cry.
Like the fucking Republicans.
I know, right?
Oh, this is beautiful.
Oh, but wait, there's more. Hey, Roger, is that you? Is that Roger?
That's Roger.
Yeah. Oh, God, look at that. It matches his hat. Look. Roger, matches his hat.
Oh, look at that. He bought it.
This is the sweetest thing.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Who's all here?
What is happening?
Well, that's Tim and MJ. This is David. That's Ralph's, and that's her sister,
Susie. Oh, man, I'm going to Jersey next weekend. Where are you at in Jersey?
And then in Maplewood.
Oh, that's down by Philly.
I guess.
They moved it. What did they move it?
They moved it.
It used to be like, oh, they moved it. Shit.
Oh, they moved it. That's what I say when I get lost.
Yeah.
You can't get there from here.
This one's the one that Junior's going to wear.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Okay, hold on. Yeah, okay, so you do, yeah.
Yes. Are you kidding me? This. Wait. It's. Do you want it like that? Or you want. It like...
Yeah.
Yeah. It's. There you go. Nice. All right. Well,
I got one for Rico. I got one for Arnold.
Is everybody listening still? What's happening? Mike, how many people in the chat room?
I got a bunch of them.
Oh.
And then there's still three that didn't come in because of the mail. Jude and Matt in San Francisco.
So. That's so nice. This fucking guy.
Well, we couldn't come empty-handed.
Oh, and by the way, just going back real quick, I had a note from Scott in San Diego, who said, "Make West Virginia great, big old Governor Jim Justice on the phone. I think we've got ourselves a new West Virginia state motto, and I think this is a reference to you, Tara." West Virginia, it's so curvy up in here.
That's good. That could be taken many ways, too.
Yeah. Well, this was for Tracy, and it says, congratulations.
Oh, how gorgeous.
Smartest girl in the class.
Absolutely. Hold on.
Smartest person.
I'll tell you what, let's step over here just a little bit.
Greatest radio show that doesn't have anybody talking.
Well, yeah, and you know what? Stop it with you. It was almost. We are 364 days from the last time I saw you.
Yeah, because I texted it.
Oh, wow.
I saw text. Yeah.
Because it was a year ago tomorrow.
Yes, that's correct.
That you showed up at the little pride party that sort of catered at Maggie's.
It was.
And you need, I don't know, how long have you been on the road?
Oh, just 5 hours.
Oh, just 5 hours.
Just five.
Well, the New York's got to be about like 10-hour drive. So.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, but she flew.
I flew, and it turned hours. Into, yeah. Well, it turned into
well, yeah,
12
true.
Hours.
The hell's the difference?
Yeah. Right, exactly. So, vegetarian spring rolls, tofu, sweet and sour tofu and rice,
Annette made the pasta salad, and it's fabulous. There's smoked turkey. I know you're probably not into the brisket. There's buns behind you.
All right.
Eat hearty, me meaty.
Thank you.
And the beatings will continue until morale improves.
Exactly. That's the new national motto. Forget e pluribus unum, right?
Yeah, exactly.
The beatings will continue until
I saw that. my personal favorite is the Carolina style. It's a little more mustardy, a little more tangy.
I'm just trying to get into this chat room. That's why I'm like.
Yeah, that's sugar free. So, no, we were in St. Croix and I saw that T-shirt and I was like, okay, we'll double back and get that on the way back to the boat. And we didn't come back the same way. And it had the skull and crossbones and the beatings will continue until morale improves. Mm. It seems so apropos. I tell you what though, everybody's been waiting. Let's get some other people into the conversation. Let's bring the David, thank you.
Thank you, David.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being here.
Right.
Before we went on air, you were saying you're off to law school?
Yes. Yes.
Come back and talk about this. Yeah. What?
I'm off to law school in the fall. I guess the reason is there's so many laws being passed against us, yeah. Right? And I want to have the tools, and I want to be in a position where I can help combat that,
yeah.
Help push some of that back. And so that's really amazing. Pushing my decision to go to law school.
Hang on to that.
Yeah,
hang on to that.
Yeah, I hear you.
Because one of the tools that they have for ruining good-hearted young lawyers is student debt.
That's true.
You come out with so much debt that you can't afford to work doing the work of the Lord. So instead, you wind up working corporate, and pretty soon you look down and you go, what the hell happened to my soul?
Right.
Right.
That's true.
And honestly, part of the reason I was like, oh, well, you know, Biden promised, student debt relief. Mm. And, you know, I'm an older millennial, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. I haven't quite hit 40 yet.
I see. Yeah.
So
you're old enough to handle law school sanely.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, but I can see why people from my generation and younger are kind of apathetic, right?
Well, what do you mean? What's the general feeling?
For me,
okay, we're going to have a problem. Who's running audio?
Yeah, you got to lower that.
It's a constant battle of...
Completely lower it.
Well, you said one thing. You've been saying this pretty much my entire life, that, you know, vote Democrat and this is gonna help, right? And I've literally voted Democrat ever since Democratic.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
I know. I had, you know, that's like a bugaboo. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I immediately was like,
yeah, sorry about that. So I've been voting Democratic ever since I could vote. My first presidential vote was John Kerry in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like I've done everything you've told me to do.
I know.
You know,
right.
Like, why hasn't anything changed? And so it's like, all right, well then maybe it's time for me to get involved.
Mm. Yeah.
Part of the reason why I'm going to law school.
You know, one of my heroes and a mentor to me, a wonderful woman, who led the struggle for many years against mountaintop removal, Judy Bonds. She constantly, and it's kind of attributed to Gandhi, but be the change you want to see in the world.
Mm.
Yeah.
And that will, you know, that will, if you have an activist spirit, that will fire you.
Yeah.
Right.
You gotta tell me what you think of the macaroni salad. So.
That and brisket. You know, I don't usually eat brisket.
Oh, I didn't expect you to taste it.
That was delicious.
The food is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I appreciate that you always think of people who don't eat animals. So I appreciate that, Robin.
Oh, not a problem. I mean, I wanted to have delicious things here for mm-hmm. you.
Thank you.
So, I wish you the very best in your life, and you know, you're going to be very, very busy, and your life is going to change, and you're going to spend a lot of time briefing cases.
Lose all your friends.
At some point early on in first-year contracts, they will probably introduce you to a case called Hadley versus Baxendale. Billable Rick is going, no. And Darlene's going, no. And Steve's going, no. But I remember it this way. My contracts professor said, and this is Hadley versus Baxendale. It's a case of, and he said, it's a case about mills, and it's a case about time. And he said, and I don't know anything about mills. I don't know anything about time, but I do know when it's Miller time. So, that was nearly four decades ago, but I still remember the name of that case because of the stupid one-liner.
Yeah.
just take joy in it, but understand that your humanity comes first.
Yeah.
But, you know, I hear what you're saying. It's the frustration of nothing ever changing. And
right.
But I get that way, too, because I just get, like, it just feels so pointless sometimes yeah. where I want to just really, like, get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
But I don't really have any words of wisdom of, like, but the thing is just I get it. But the fact is we know what's wrong with the country. Yeah. We know that it's money and politics. Mm-hmm. We know that it's greed. That is that is the fundamental sickness here. And when
but don't sell Republican viciousness short.
The point. Yeah. But that's because of the sickness. Like when we were at the Hawks, wherever the hell, the Hawk House. You know.
Hawk's Nest.
Yeah, I'm only kidding.
No.
I know. I don't mean to disparage it. That's it
no,
was.
No, no, no.
But it was. You know, it was just cute because the hawk was there. That's all. But as soon as I said,
you
the
don't
hawk,
know what I paid for that hawk.
I know, right? You're very thoughtful, right? But when we were there, when we were discussing, you were telling me about the history of that site, and then you were just telling me about the men who worked in the mines and how their lungs were literally being filled with concrete. And we were discussing Carnegie, the first Gilded Age, when Carnegie he's supposedly this great philanthropist, and he obviously Carnegie Hall, and there's a lot of, Carnegie Mellon Foundation, all of these great philanthropic endeavors. But he thought it was good that he had all the money because those people didn't know what to do with it and do with their lives. So he was like their, in his mind, a benevolent father, just steering them. But the fact is, his steel mills, the life expectancy in a Carnegie steel mill was 40.
Yeah.
And
you got to remember. I mean, I didn't bring this up while we were talking and traveling, but I could take you a couple of counties down to McDowell County, and the life expectancy of a man in McDowell County is actually less than the life expectancy of a man in Guatemala, and equivalent to the life expectancy of a man in Haiti.
And, I mean, we have a lot of those statistics in this country that are comparable to these developing countries. And we should be ashamed, really.
That has ever been the case?
Right, yeah, right.
That's just a lot in life.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I got a note from Tamara, your neighbor that maybe you'll meet soon before you move. Tamara said, I am so happy to hear about the law school decision. Mm-hmm. I just found out today that I'm officially queer auntie of a trans kid.
Awesome.
I couldn't be happier.
Oh, wow.
But the parent is worried. And you never know.
Mm-hmm.
You never know whose life you're going to touch.
Right.
You just, you just made an impact on somebody.
Awesome.
And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So let me see here. Check it. All right. So
We've actually reached what would nominally be or typically be the halfway point of the program.
Were you going to law school? Willamette University in Oregon.
Oh, really?
By Roger.
Hey, Roger, how far is Willamette University from where you are?
From Salem? Salem is where it is?
Yeah, Salem.
Salem's about an hour.
Oh, wow.
It's about halfway between Eugene and Portland. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's find out if this whole road rig contraption. You know, we're doing okay with one microphone here. This isn't terrible.
I'm not listening, though. I don't know what it sounds like.
Honey?
It might sound like, you know.
I brought them, just for you.
Let me get
this. What are you in?
Let's see. I'll give you the verdict.
You are in headphone two.
Wait a minute.
No, cord goes on the left.
Why?
Because God wants it there.
Okay. All right, it sounds all right.
Yeah, it's okay.
Well, it does sound a little hollow and whatnot, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but for what we're doing, no, it's pretty tight, I think. There, you'll be more comfortable now.
Thank you. I'm trying to get into this chat room, but I'm not having any.
Oh, which
luck.
One? Skype?
I don't know, your chat room.
How the hell did
you get in it?
Well, first you have to sign into your Skype.
I'm supposed to be signed in here.
What's okay. So someone.
Does that? Do
the
I have to
easiest
be invited?
The easiest thing is for hey somebody in the Skype chat invite Tara please.
I hope I'm in the right. And then I'm just wondering.
What's your Skype handle?
I thought it was. Hold on. I thought it's Pterodactyl Devlin, but this doesn't look like me. I might have two accounts and I didn't know it.
We've had that problem in the
past.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever. Sorry.
Okay, so anyway, I'm going to bring in the Skype group and see if we can actually make all of this magic work. Okay, can somebody tell me, do you hear me? Can somebody in the Skype group tell me if you hear me? Anybody? Bueller? Yeah, but do you hear me on Skype?
They probably, maybe it's a delay.
I'm picking you up on Skype.
Okay. Now I'm curious. But now I'm curious to find out if it's picking up on the phone or if it's coming through the board, because I don't hear any talk back from anybody in the room.
Well, let me give a little bit of a try. There should be a delay.
Okay, hold on. Yeah, it's very, very faint though for me. So I think.
So you mean you're supposed to be able to hear people from there?
Yeah. Let me check the. Okay, Bluetooth. All right. Okay. Okay. And you know I'm for. Oh, wait, I know what's wrong. Let's try it this way. Can anybody in the Skype group hear me?
It's very low. I can definitely can hear it, but it's like a whisper. It's lower than a whisper.
Okay, wait a minute. What's going on?
I'm picking it up in my earbuds, Robin.
Yeah, I know what's going on here. I know what's going on. Okay, so now. Off. Wi-Fi on. Okay, maybe this will solve the problem. Yeah, dadgummit. Well, I've got a different device than what I ordinarily use. What's that, Roger?
Oh, I was trying to work this to get it.
Oh, okay.
Scott's telling you it's okay.
Well, y'all are hearing me fine, but let me see here.
I hear people.
I do too. The calls are coming from inside the house.
I don't know. I'm thinking I'm having one of those nightmares again.
Okay.
Wait, is that me? But I mean, I wonder. Okay. How does that happen? It does it automatically? Oh, you did. But let me see.
There's a lot going on down here. We got hot dogs, balloons for the kids, and cutout albums from the old record box.
I have to find the code.
Huh? This is where I need Scott. No, I don't want to do that.
It's like not let me out.
Okay, this is some kind of screw. Well, if we ever do this again, I know not to forget my iPad. Of course, I knew not to forget my iPad today, too. Yeah, see, I can hear someone faintly. We're good on volume on the device, and I've done this in the past before.
Do we still have an audience?
Oh yeah, people are still there. See if that helps. It's really weird. You don't get a lot of opportunity. You don't get a lot of.
This is my account.
Okay, so you know what? We're going to bail on that. That may engineering on the fly. You know, this was how they got Apollo 13 safely back to Earth. True, but it depends on what they'll let us do here. Okay, so instead, we're going to do this. On.
No camera.
Take that out.
Okay, better. I'm in. Thank you.
Okay, now let's try this again.
Yes, I can. Mm-hmm.
Oh, hey.
Wait. Why is it flying?
It must be.
Yeah.
Something's not right.
I gotta get out of here.
Let me see if that helps. No, that doesn't help. You gotta hang up off the call.
Hang it up.
And that way you can still be in the chat.
Okay, sorry.
But somebody else.
That's the problem. So someone else is that way as well.
Yeah. Roger, is that your audio?
It's gotta be.
Only in my earbuds.
But that's probably.
Hold on.
It's getting like a feedback, right?
Check. Yeah, we're still echoing, and that means there's.
It's better than it was.
Okay, it settled down. No, it didn't.
No, you're.
For a minute. This is a test. If this had been an actual emergency, you would have been instructed where to tune for news and official information.
He's got that memorized. Well, sometimes the echo settles down a little bit after a bit.
Right.
I think this works. I mean, it's better than it was. That's all I know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It sounds, why don't you speak again?
Yeah, we're better now, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Skype settled down. It's gone.
The technology gods have smiled on you, my boy, my girl, my lad.
Reminds me of the time we were in Afghanistan. We'd lost our corkscrew. Had to live for 2 weeks on nothing but food and water.
Godfrey Daniel.
Mother of Pearl.
Yes, I knew Pearl. I knew Pearl's mother. Hell of a woman.
Well.
Hi, Scott.
Hey, Robin.
How do you know who's talking?
I know these voices for me. I've been listening. I've been hearing these voices for
on
I have,
and
I
on.
I have voices in my head, Tara. Of course I know which ones they are.
Yeah. Hi, Tara.
Hi.
Tara, Scott, Tara.
Scott?
I'm in San Diego. Actually, if I'd known David was coming, I would have hitched a ride.
I know, right?
Yeah.
What the hell's wrong with me?
Yes, David Scott just said, I'm in San Diego. If I'd known David was coming, I'd have hitched a ride. It could have been a road trip for the ages. You right. and Scott and Tamara.
Did you drive?
I did.
Get
I
the
did.
Hell out of here. Yeah.
From California.
Amazing.
When did you start?
Now
Tuesday?
That is great. What a great trip, though. You know, just to, what the hell?
Oh, yeah. Magic.
Right. It's fun. I agree.
Well, I tell you what, do me a favor, please, and talk amongst yourselves for a second. Keep the conversation going.
I never have a problem talking. Anyway, hi, everybody.
Fun with Girl.
This is Tara Devlin. Become a patron at patreon.com/TaraDevlin. I'm only kidding. I know, right? This is Tara Buster. If you guys haven't been a fan of Tara Buster, you don't know what you're missing. So come on over Friday evenings around the 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. In that vicinity, I have to say, because I can't always get my shit together in time. But that's the way the liberal media rolls, right? We know that, because we don't have the big billionaire benefactors. We just have each other. I mean, it's all just put together with bubblegum and Band-Aids in this room. But we're doing it anyway. And, what we were saying, actually, I wanted to talk about when we went to the Hawk area, where the Hawks were. I like Hawks. I like animals. Whatever. And, but the thing is, not about the Hawks, you know, they're fine, but it's the people who, we really have to start, in my opinion, we have to start shifting the paradigm in this country about, like, really, what is the meaning of an economy? Is it to make a few people very rich while the majority has their lungs, like this blip of time that they're spending in life just working in a mine until they die at age 40 from their lungs being filled up with cement? It's disgusting. And I mean, the real problem, in my opinion, is the media, because this is almost normal. It's normalized when an economy is run to where the people actually think they're middle class when they miss two paychecks and have to go to a food bank. You're not middle class. And there's something very disgusting about that. And, you know, like I said, in my opinion, how can we have a country that is, I mean, I'm kind of really embarrassed to be an American at this moment in time, frankly, because of a lot of things, and not to, you know, besides the needless and senseless death, but it's all the feeling of, like, everybody is on their own. It's like what is E Pluribus Unum? If not, it's like the whole, and I know what you're saying, because when I was a kid, I was promised the same things. You know what I mean? I was promised, yes, come on over here. I was promised, you know, I thought we were the good guys. I thought we lived in a democracy. I thought that, you know, if you worked, you got to live a decent middle-class life.
That I think, is the most pernicious thing about the American myth, mythos, right? It's the, if you work hard, you can get ahead, and people buy into
yes,
that.
Yes, right.
And it all turns out to be, for lack of a better word, bullshit.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
And
you
then
say that on the morning. Mm-hmm.
And then that's where all of this anger is coming
yes.
from, right?
Yes.
Right. Yes, exactly. And so, and
at the cost of
And when people just don't realize that they have been lied to their entire life, and they're just angry and don't know why.
Yes, and they're deflecting it. They're pointing their anger at each other instead of where it belongs. And that's really, that's the ruse here. And that's always been the game that's been played. And when you're talking about the enslaved people and the and basically the indentured servants, that game has been played since, you know, for time immemorial, but especially in this country when this country was, in the 1600s when they started to write laws to separate the indentured servants from the enslaved so they wouldn't get together and cause a revolution.
Right. Actually change something.
Get together.
And honestly, Part of what I've noticed in my generation and younger is that we've seen it, right? We're like, okay, you've told us this.
Right.
We've told us this our entire lives, and it's not what you said it was.
Right.
But we're not willing to
do something about it.
Well, we're not willing to accept the lie.
Yeah. Well, right? That's, I want to hear that, because that's, I really think this generation, your generation, I mean, it sucks, but that you've really been handed a real shit show. And I mean, the shame to me, it is a shame. I'm embarrassed that our children have to go through live shooter drills. Yeah. We should be disgusted by that. I am. I don't know how they argue, it's my freedom, you know, your freedom to you don't have a constitutional right to walk around with an assault weapon. I mean, but these are all the problems. I'm not just, it's the economy.
Yeah,
it's the media. It's this gun shit. This
and
bullshit.
It seems to all be coalescing at the same time.
Yeah.
I was a sophomore in high school when Columbine happened.
Mm.
And, you know, I was politically unaware, you know.
Right.
Luckily, I found Air America right around 2003, 2004. You know, right when the Iraq War started, I was 20, 21, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I've kind of been seeing this for half my life.
Right.
And I'm like, to me, it's I don't want to live in a country that doesn't live up to its ideals anymore.
Right.
You know, I want something to change.
Exactly.
And if our elected leaders aren't going to do that, then maybe it's time for new ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't ever want to hear anything from any Republican forevermore about their reverence for life
or the precious
little unborns until they start giving a tinker's damn about the Dunborns.
Yeah, they don't give a shit about that.
No more unborns. Let's talk about the Dunborns.
Right.
Hey, Robin. Tara.
Yes.
David.
Some photos.
Just real quick. You know, the two original sins of this nation, such as it is, were the fact that we, quote, discovered a place that was already inhabited. So you got the indigenous crime. And then you have, you know, talk about manifest destiny. On the ship's manifest was millions from the continent of Africa who were brought over here against their will. They didn't vote on it.
I know.
And until we come to grips with that, everything else arises from that or trickles down from that.
Yes.
So anyway, just that's all I got.
No, thank you. It's true.
Well, it does. It's not trickle down, sweetie. It's a full on tsunami, and this is coming from a black woman. So, you know, I'm loving all you the white folks are talking about. It's a beautiful thing. However, never y'all have lived in a fantasy world for a very long time. And like in a country where white people can do a black sense on their TV shows and their radio shows, and they think it's okay, culture vulture motherfuckers. But that's benign racism. Y'all think it might be funny, it might be cute, But it isn't. And that adds to the problem.
Mm-hmm.
It adds to the problem where me as a black person, a queer black woman at best, have to sit back and listen to people white-splain to me about the situation that we're in this country. And I'm like, baby, no. You can't tell me what I already know, or tell, or when a black person tells you what you did was racist, what you did was wrong, and then you clutch your pearls. I'm not saying y'all, I'm just saying as a collective of certain of Karens and Chads and all them, clutch their pearls and say, I'm not a racist. I said, no, didn't call you a racist. I said, what you said or what you did was racist.
Well,
until white people start to come to that understanding, and understand that also that we all have problems with bias, especially confirmation bias and all these other biases, because we're human. We have been programmed and socialized and indoctrinated into treating and acting a certain way toward certain people. Black people, white people, all of us. And so we have these very uncomfortable conversations. And I'm not even talking conversations at this point. You know how when a person is, comes out of a cult and they have to deprogram them to start, this country needs to be, they need an enema, and deprogramming, because there's, like you guys are talking about, you work hard, you do this, the American dream. But see, for a lot of black people, we knew that was a lot.
Of course.
Because it didn't apply to us.
No,
it didn't apply to a lot of brown people, right. But it did not apply to us. Mm-hmm. And y'all got a rude awakening in the last few years. Y'all have now, when the orange thing was elected in 2016, and all these my white friends, were like, I don't understand how this could happen. Not in America. This is not the kind of country we have. But yes, it is. This country has been the same way since 1776. This country has been the same way when 400 years ago when the first black person came off that ship. This country is the way it's been and it's supposed to be. And when people say that the criminal justice system is broken, no, it's not. It's doing it.
Hello?
Yeah.
It's broken. Oh my God, what are we going to do? It's not broken. It's doing the exact same thing it's supposed to have been doing for the last 400 years. Okay, I'm done.
Can I say something? Although I see Rick has his hand up, so I'm going to defer to him.
Go, Rick.
Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Good. I wasn't sure what this stuff. It might sound to hear everybody together. That's awesome. And
you'll be here next year.
I will be. We have to give David the Road Warrior award.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
You drive that.
Billable, I want you to know, I actually went out and I scouted pool tables for you, okay? I just want you to know, I scouted pool tables for you.
Oh, man.
is that on the agenda for this evening?
A little pool hall?
No, there's no little pool hall, but I did find a pool table across the river.
That's cool. I appreciate that, Robin. Well, next time, right?
Oh, no, there's a pool table at Charlie's.
How about a golf?
I got a nearby golf course.
Yeah, okay. Shoot, okay. All right, well, I got a bit. But I got my third hole in one not too long ago. That was wild. I didn't expect that. I know. That's lucky. I don't know why I've gotten so lucky the last three and a half years.
It hasn't all been on the same hole, has it?
No. 11, 16, and 17. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All on the back nine, though. So.
Let's get back to
it. I had a pool tournament this weekend. I had to turn it down because my dog and kind of stuff.
Well, I wanted to, you being a lawyer, Billable, you'll be able to chime in on this. This is something I was talking to Tara about earlier, and I even mentioned it last night
when we were just talking as everyone came in, you know, we had Uvalde, and then we got Tulsa. And at first blush, you know, it looks like they may be kind of similar, but not really. But from the Bend to Law School standpoint, something dawned on me, Billable.
Okay.
And that is, there are, you know, Tulsa happened because dude was able to go and buy a pistol one day, and the next day he went and got an AR-15.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there is a superseding and intervening cause, Rick, because I don't even remember that language. How many years have Republicans been hammering on state legislatures to take away people's ability to pursue redress for botched medical procedures?
Yes, they have for a very long time, for probably 30 or 40 years now.
Yeah, and it's been led by like the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. You may rest assured that in Oklahoma, it is damn near impossible to sue a doctor in medical malpractice.
Right. Well, that's like, did that Dr. Death guy, did you see? I mean, there's a doctor, they call him Dr. Death, and there's a show on Hulu that, it was also a podcast, everything's a podcast now, but they, it's a real story. I'm trying to look up the guy's name, Dr. Death. If you just look up Dr. Death, it'll come up, because this guy was like a sociopath, and he went to medical school. He was a doctor, but he so hurt people. He killed people. He caused people to be paralyzed from the neck down, and from the waist down, of course, too. And they kept letting him operate, and all he kept doing was bouncing from hospital to hospital. And this was in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason was because the Texas legislature, yes, Christopher Dunch, and he's the Texas
legislature. That's courtesy of RALPS, the Horn Ad Hoc
Thank
Research
you.
Department.
Yes, and because of Rick Perry and the Republicans, who they passed a law limiting medical malpractice to no matter what happened, you could only sue for $250,000.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you're paralyzed or you're a quadriplegic for life, it was more profitable for these hospitals to just keep this fucking guy operating and maiming and killing people than it was to do something about it. So that, 'cause they were getting paid from the insurance companies, mm-hmm, for these operations that were maiming people. And then and there was other doctors who had to come in and try to fix what he, really fucked up. But
botched.
Not even, they said it wasn't botched. If you had any medical training, anybody in the room could have done better. They said he must have been some kind of sociopath because he was like sticking screws in people's muscles. He was like boring holes in their spines.
Uh-huh.
And then he, it was all routine stuff too. A lady had to have a disc removed. It was a very routine operation, apparently. He didn't even touch the disc he was supposed to remove. He just like left her spine with screws all over the fucking place, and he paralyzed her. So the doctor that went in was like, this guy can't be a doctor. He has to be, this is an imposter, you know? And then they realized, this has got to be a sociopath. This is a serial killer, really. And that's what he ended up going to jail for it. But the reason he was allowed to continue to practice was because of the greed, the fucking greed of
Rick
Perry, Republicans, and the health insurance companies.
Well, remember the crazy doctor from the crazy doctor who said that. What was it? Sexual dysfunction was caused because the devil steals men's penises and hides them under the sea.
Oh.
Well, she was a licensed physician in the state of Texas.
Wow.
And she was part of
America's Frontline Doctors. That was the name of it.
Oh, yes, yes. That's and the one, the
Stella,
demon.
Stella
oh,
Emanuel. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, crazier than a sprayed roach at a decon rave. And yeah. Texas didn't do anything with her. But just for a moment, let me just take this for a second and run with it. Because what we saw in Houston, or not Houston, Tulsa, what we saw in Tulsa is actually a monstrous degree of devolution. Because the whole reason, and Billable, I know you know this, but you know, before we developed this sort of legal system that we now have in merry old England and other parts of Europe, other parts of the world, you had something that was called trial by combat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Might makes right. Whoever wins the fight proves his case. And the whole reason that the Anglo-English jurisprudential system rises up is as a response to that. David, when you go to law school, one of the first cases you will learn in torts, Billable, do you remember the name? It comes out of the Court of King's Bench, but what was happening was two of the king's soldiers were practicing. And, you know, live fire, you know, real swords. Which reminds me, if you really want to test open carry, and I was talking about this years and years ago, let some dude walk down the street with a classic Japanese katana that has been folded, the steel has been folded 500 times, and it is razor sharp, right. And the cops will bust him.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, Well, it doesn't say the right to the Second Amendment doesn't say the right to own a gun. It says the right to own arms.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, so the king's men bore arms because they were members of the king's army, and they were practicing, and one of them hurt the other one. And in order to so the English legal system develops so that the two will not, or someone standing in the stead of the man who's hurt, won't go and gig the guy who, and so the thing goes to trial in an early form, and the guy who hurt the other soldier said, "Eh, but your grace, I didn't means to hit him."
Mm-hmm.
And the Court of King's Bench ruled, intent is not at issue here.
Right.
All, and this is the first rule, all liability is based upon fault.
Right.
If it's your fault, you're liable for it. If you're liable, you pay. And what we have now in this, and I will say that what he did was awful, but I have some sympathy. Pain is a picture window into hell. And he had not received any help from this physician. He felt like he had been harmed.
Is that what happened?
Yes. He had back surgery, and the dude was just like, you know, okay, well, you got pain, you know, too bad.
Okay.
And so he went and bought a pistol, and then he bought an AR-15 and said, I'm going to kill anybody that gets between me and him, and then I'm going to kill him. And so when I said devolution, what this is literally going backwards to those two guys hacking at each other with swords in practice.
Mm-hmm.
And because the Republicans have closed the doors of the courts to injured people,
fuckers,
then they wind up thinking like this.
Yeah, well, if you have no other option
what's he
going to
do? You just sit there and lump it? Yeah. Some people aren't willing to
and
do that.
You're just not considered a person. It doesn't matter, right? It's like, fly away, Nat. You're annoying me, right? It's like anybody can harm you as long as they're making a buck. That's the only American value. That's what it seems like. And I'm frankly sick of it myself. Mm-hmm. You know, greed, selfishness. And I'm like, what part of E pluribus unum is that? I don't know.
But when you hear a Republican utter the phrase tort reform,
oh God,
understand
that's
what they want. You were going to say something, David?
No, I'm learning. I'm like sitting at the feet of the master.
Oh, you're too kind.
Billable,
you're the master.
Did I hear you say something?
Yeah. I was going to say, I have a slightly different take about the shooting in Tulsa. I think that the physician did not really, or may not have told the patient that, hey, you're going to be in pain for quite a while after this back surgery. Your pain's not going to go away automatically. You know, you're going to have to take painkillers. You're going to have to go to physical therapy, you know, that kind of thing. And don't expect it to go away like overnight after the surgery. So maybe he didn't manage the guy's expectations properly.
Well, and another question is, did he give him an adequate supply of pain medication?
Yeah, I don't know.
We had a hissy over, mm-hmm. over, you
right.
know, oh, he's going to get addicted to the opioids.
You can only get like 4 days or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
right. Well, I'm Stan is like that too. They probably view that the same way as the West Virginia does, right? As far as, oh, we don't want these people getting addicted to these opiates. Oh my God, you know? But back surgery is very painful. My ex had it in 2008. And, she was just so, she was in just excruciating pain after the surgery as well. So, you know, having a bad back is a real curse, you know?
I mean, everything is, it just feels sometimes insurmountable, the problems in this country, but I honestly do think it stems from the Rupert Murdoch pus media and that kind, and also the Democrats in a way, like not pushing back on the freaks in the country. They're always trying to like appeal to them. You know what I mean? They're always like, I got bipartisan support here, and it's like, you know,
not just that. I mean, if you consider,
but like for example, I'm sorry.
No, fine.
When they like, for example, when where's why am I echoing again? Who's got something?
Hey, Joey, is that
you? Hey, Joey, is that you? I think.
Okay, lower that, honey.
All right.
And so, because I don't like hearing myself. You know what I mean? is that okay? I think it's, what happened? Just lower it, right?
It is. It's fine.
Yeah, if you just mute yourself for a moment.
I'm going to get myself some earphones here. Are you still echoing?
Yeah, we're echoing. Yeah. It's from
all right, let me try.
It's really bad. So
how's that?
Let me say 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Hello.
Check.
It's still there, I think. Yeah.
Okay, so just cut it off,
please.
Yeah.
I will.
All right, there we go. We're back.
Yeah.
We're back from. So what I was saying is, for example, when John Kerry, yeah, this is what Democrats do, like going out with his goddamn duck hunting frickin' stunt and things like that. Right, to appeal to this segment of the population. And one of the things that I appreciate Joe Biden in one of the many debates he was in for years, this was during when Obama was running and they were all, and Hillary, they were still early vying for the nomination. And Joe Biden, so they, some guy, some freak called in and was like, oh, you everybody, to protect all babies, there was some overarching theme. Well, this is my baby. And he picks up this big gun and, assault weapon. Mm-hmm. And he says, what are you going to do to protect my baby? And Joe Biden, to his credit, was like, if that's your baby, I think you just proved that you don't have the mental capacity to even own that gun. He's like, mm-hmm. You're sick if that's your baby. And, that's there needed to be more of that. Where is that? You know what I mean? Because it's like we constantly concede to the lower aspects of the human condition. I got to protect myself. You know, you don't need an assault weapon to protect yourself. You know, I mean, we're not living in The Walking Dead here, and it's like the whole world is looking askance at this country. They have crazy people and criminals, and you know,
sure,
all over the world. But we are the only country that deals with this as if, like, and it's another layer of looking at each other as the enemy, in my opinion, not just having the guns or for guns or against guns, but also that where the fuck do you think we're living? Are we living in Mad Max or something? Right. You know, where you need
this ain't
an
Dodge
arsenal?
City.
Right.
Well, if you were to stick around here long enough, Tara, you might walk into Wally World up here.
Mm.
And you very well might see some guy who got sent to Walmart for a loaf of bread and a jug of milk. Mm. And he's got a strap heat to do it.
Oh, God, help me.
Because it's dangerous
yeah.
up there.
Yeah. That's why I wonder. You know, my granny used to go shopping all the time, 90 pounds. I wish she's still with us so she could teach these fuckers a lesson in, you know, courage.
Yeah. Right?
Never had to put a gun on. It's just ridiculous. But I think it's also, that is also a symptom of racism. It is. It's mm-hmm. because we, first of all, we don't have these unifying policies, you know, like universal health care, universal higher education, and, you know, well, living wages, retirement security, all of those, we don't have these because of racism, frankly. And it's, and I also believe the gun, well, it's not just the belief, but the fact that we even have a Second Amendment is because of racism, as you know.
Right.
You know, the slave patrols and, you know, a free state referred to the fact that they wanted to keep, you know, they were afraid that they, if the, what was it, if they, because the National Guard, that's the well-regulated militia, but if you're called up in your National Guard, then they were afraid that other you know, free states could take their human property.
But remember, the Second Amendment also comes into existence because of frontier communities in states like Virginia, mm-hmm. of which this was once a part, or God knows, Western New York, Western Massachusetts, mm-hmm. And it is specifically for the purposes of ending indigenous people.
Right. That's true. Yeah. Right.
So, by the way,
yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
I wanted to say something here. The notion that our country is unique in these issues is just not true. The United Kingdom, and I've been following an awful lot of news there and whatnot lately. They have all the. They have actually some of their issues are even worse. The only difference, at least from a social perspective, the only reason you don't see the violence in other countries is it's throughout Western Europe, even parts of Eastern Europe. The United Kingdom is the same way as we are. Is guns.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing separating us. I mean, in the UK, right now they have inflation that's gone off the charts. They have energy costs that are off the charts. Mm-hmm. They have this increasing reliance on food banks. In fact, there were stories that I had come across and was listening to where people can't afford their energy costs, mm-hmm. and it's so expensive that you have parents and people who don't have kids who are not eating one mm-hmm. time a month because they can't afford the food. You have people turning down certain types of foods at food banks because they can't afford the energy to cook the food.
Okay.
Like what the big story was, potatoes. People were turning down potatoes because they can't afford the energy to boil the water to make the potato. Mm. So we are not unique in our problems of certainly not racist. I mean, if you want to know anything, see the UK's very recent sins in that. Look at something called the Windrush scandal, which had to do with particularly with Caribbean folks. Mm-hmm. So I say this not to absolve us. I say this because the issue is not only here, which means that to begin to solve these issues, we have to solve them in an awfully large number of other places. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, another thing. Somebody mentioned Murdoch. Murdoch is a fucking cancer.
Yeah.
Because he owns papers and news stations in the United Kingdom, and particularly, you know, obviously in London, that during the whole Brexit thing that came out is the lies and just horrible stuff.
Yep.
That he and his papers and whatnot put out. I don't know if you know, there was a scandal where there was a woman who had gone missing, and she had a cell phone. And somehow, I don't remember which Murdoch paper it was, but one of the newspapers there got hold of her password to her voicemail.
Oh my God, wow.
What they were doing was going there and listening to her voicemail.
Oh yeah, I remember this. This was right.
This wasn't too long ago. And yeah. So what was happening is the parents,
they thought she was still alive.
They thought she was still alive because it was saying that there was no new messages. So they thought she was the one listening to the messages.
Right.
I mean, it's just I mean that guy. I had a friend of my church who, I don't know if there's a documentary called Outfoxed. I don't know if anybody's ever seen it.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's a guy at my church who's in that, and he worked at Channel 5 in D.C. right before and after Murdoch took over the company. Mm-hmm. And he said the atmosphere was palpable. One day it went from being a news organization to being having messages coming down from on high on what you focus on, what the talking were. He said, so everything you heard about that, he said, it was true. Oh, by the way, did you hear there was another shooting in Wisconsin?
Today?
In the last 24 hours, it was at a cemetery.
Holy shit.
Wow, we're shooting at the dead people now.
Mm. Now we can't. Now we got to fortify cemeteries too. These schools, supermarkets, where else? Yeah, concert halls.
You know what? Every cemetery must have only one entrance and one exit.
It was the doors. There was one.
Well, what do they need an exit for?
Holy shit! Right.
But no,
well, the doors, and just listen to the Yardbirds instead.
Yeah. I
was listening to Prime Minister's Questions one day, which is a thing that happens every Wednesday in the House of Commons. Mm-hmm. And one of the guys, and typically it's the leaders of the opposition parties who question the Prime Minister. There was one guy who I absolutely love. His name is Ian Blackford. He is the head of the Scottish National Party in the Parliament. And right after the thing in Texas happened, he got up and he said, "You know, we want to express our sorrow and concern and solidarity with the people of Texas." And he said, "This is very familiar with us because this happened 26 years ago in Scotland."
Yes.
And he said, I hope that the U.S. finally does something about guns." And what really got me was the 26 years ago, which tells me that they haven't had anything like this.
Right.
In 26 years, because back when it happened, like they did in Australia, they fucking did something about it. That just blew me away. So we are having something that they experience once every 26 years, about once a month.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really believe, you know, there is this feeling in this country, of course, that we are not in this together. And it's on, and that's why one of my remedies I always talk about is that we need universal health care. We need universal higher education. We need these policies not just as a good and nice thing to do, but as patriotic imperatives to finally put the e pluribus unum into action. And that is what Joe Biden needs to say. That's what the Democrats need to run on. We're putting e pluribus unum in action. We don't leave people behind in this country. That's what it has to be. And because it really is about racism and division and looking at each other as the others. Like Henry Wallace said, they exploit, the American fascists exploits every fissure of disunity, every crack in the common front. And that is what they do, whether it be trans people, gay people, anybody with darker pigment, any difference. This is what we're dealing with. This is why we have these idiots running around saying it's their right to own an assault weapon because they're afraid. You have to see, the reason I'm saying this too is because when I was waiting in the airport for 12 hours, I was on my neighbor's app, and somebody was posting about guns, and I got into a little back and forth with a bunch of people, whatever. Some normal people, of course, but then some, right-wingers, which I call them. They're not normal, you know, so whatever. But their arguments are, it's my right. And then they started arguing with me because, you know, obviously I don't give a shit, fuck them. And so I'll just tell them the way I feel. And also, they really have no leg to stand on. But it's really about how they're afraid. This is one of the themes that kept running. What do you do when someone is robbing you, or when, I mean, I'm like, what fucking, where the fuck do these people live? Is this, I mean, I know there's crime, of course, but you don't need, what do you need an assault weapon? But it's like, if you read their comments, it's like they're living in a locked, they're already in this armed camp, you know what I mean? They're already there. And someone is just right outside the door waiting to kill them. That's what it feels
like.
Yeah,
they live in a war zone.
Yes, in their minds.
I'll tell you a perfect example. I represented the only criminal defendant I've ever represented. And he was like into knives and guns and all this shit. He carried this like some sort of knife around his neck. And I said to him one time, I said, I don't get it. What's the obsession? Why? Mm-hmm. And he says, well, you know, if I'm ever on the subway and ISIS gets on there.
Right.
And I was like, really? I can tell you that I ride the subway all hours of the night. I don't carry a weapon. Mm. I've been assaulted on the subway twice. I still won't carry a weapon. I had my nose broken on the subway once. Mm. I won't carry a weapon. Because I don't want to live. I don't want to live like every single person who's around me is ready to.
Yeah,
is ready to kill me or hurt. I don't want to live that way.
Yeah, it's like
I don't.
It's
I don't.
Fear.
Mm-hmm. Why would you want to live?
And then the Republicans encourage this kind of bullshit, and this is why I can't stand them too, because. It's and what we were talking about in the car, Robin, how it's political malpractice. If you're in a position of leadership, I did it again. I dropped my phone. God damn it. That's why I broke my screen today. But anyway, if you're in a position of leadership and people are susceptible to fear, then you have an obligation. If you're a normal person, if you're not a sociopath, you know what I mean? If you are a good person, you have an obligation not to tickle their fear centers and turn them into these people who live like this, because they're not. That's not a way to live either. You're not happy. You know what I mean? You're not. That's like a horrible, ugly way to live.
I think it might come down to the way they view.
Mm-hmm.
How people are fundamentally evil at their core,
as opposed
to fundamentally good.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how much of that is religion based, or how much of it is cultural based. But I think it does really come down to how do you view people at their core? Do you view people as
they're out to get you? That's true.
Everybody is out to get you.
Yeah.
Or do you view people as
mm-hmm.
members of the community. True.
Yes,
and that might
right.
be the, that might be the fundamental split between.
You're absolutely right. Yes, and it is really there. That is the split, and that's why people, I believe, in leadership have an obligation to not encourage that kind of shit, because if we are a democratic republic and we are in this together, you know, we are a nation of immigrants. Like, these are things that you can't get around. We are a diverse nation of immigrants. So to tickle those racist funny bones and to incite those divisions is really a mark of, you know, it's fundamentally unpatriotic, and it's you know, it shouldn't be accepted. As you know, that's why I always say how they've wrapped themselves in the flag, because it's sort of like, you know, a closet case who's like, oh, I hate gays, because they are fundamentally, you know, unpatriotic. So that's why they wave the flag. So, because the substance of patriotism is really beyond them. If you're a patriot, you don't do that. You don't incite your community against each other, you know? And
but if you don't believe in the concept,
right,
of community,
if you don't, yeah. that's it. And fundamentally, and this is my, I mean, we could just know them by their fruits. The Republicans, they do not believe in democracy. That's what it's about. It's always been about that. That they want to, they are really, and look, just look at what they're doing. They are dragging us back to the found, to the system that the founders overthrew. You know, where the rich run and own everything, and everybody else knows their place and fights over the scraps out in the fields, right. You know what I mean? And awaits their rewards in heaven. That's why they're erasing the wall of separation between church and state. I mean, and everywhere you look, they are rolling back democracy fundamentally. And because if the people are unified, if they are happy, if they are, you know, living decent middle class lives, there is no room for somebody like Trump to get in, and some fucker like DeSantis or any of them. This hate would never have a place to get in.
And that may be the purpose of perpetuating the myth that, you know, you are middle class. Right?
Mm-hmm. And it comes from the media too, because the media. The corporate media they're of course, in my opinion, like ground zero of the problem, and it is Rupert Murdoch plus media that is poisoning this country. And like we were saying, Jacinda Ardern, I can never say
Jacinda
her name.
Jacinda Ardern, yeah.
Yes, I'm sorry. It's something about it. I can't say.
Prime Minister of New Zealand.
She said, you know, they asked her why.
Jacinda Ardern.
Yeah, Jacinda
Ardern. Ardern. Right.
Yeah, I have a problem with sometimes these words don't come out of my mouth properly, but you know what I'm saying. She's amazing. I wish I lived in New Zealand, frankly. But they asked her because New Zealand had a successful response to COVID, and when they got new cases of COVID, they issued whatever statement saying, okay, now we're all going to have to lock down again, and there were no assholes screaming in the streets, and they also, you know, there's none of this bullshit. And when this horrible massacre happened at the mosque, they did what needed to be done immediately. They didn't. There's none of this bullshit. So they asked her how is it that the New Zealanders are so unified and able to do these things, and she said, "We don't have Rupert Murdoch media here," and that's really I was like happy to hear that, because he is the fucking cancer in democracy.
Yeah. Joey too knows all about the Murdochs.
You do, Joey
She's
too.
From She's from Australia.
Oh my God.
Ask Joey too, the kangaroo.
Well, I wish Joey too would.
But it's kind of like, you know, why do you have mass shootings? Because you have lots of guns. Why do you have shitty politics? Because you have Rupert Murdoch.
Right, and I mean, and also the, you know, money and politics. Of course, that's the other thing that you never hear on, and it's all related, I believe, because of you never hear on the corporate media. In fact, I was just watching when I was back in the room. There, this whole discussion of guns now. What is there something going to be done and whatnot? And not one mention of money in politics. They're like, oh well, these Republicans don't want to vote. They have to get 60 votes, and they don't want to vote because it might hurt them politically. But it's like, well, why? Why? Why are they indebted to this fucking blood cult, the NRA, this terrorist organization? Why? Because money and politics, too. Because they're and also they're, there's just the complete moral bankruptcy of that. To say, I would rather save my own ass and keep sucking on this bloody teat of the NRA than protect children because I might get voted out of office. You know, get another fucking job, right? They're hiring pilots.
And Taco Bell managers. They've got a help wanted sign at the Taco Bell, you know? Down here.
But, I mean, like, your fucking cushy job is above... murdered fucking children?
By the way, I just...
Wait, hold on.
I'm sorry.
No. Say, Joe? Office is hiring constantly. Oh, yeah.
So send them there so they wouldn't go postal on them.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That quotation was wrongly attributed to the Prime Minister. She never said it.
What? She didn't say that? Wait, what did she say? What are you saying?
Well, she didn't say anything about
that. I've only heard
it
come out of her mouth.
No, it's made up. I just happened to look up.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, I've been quoting it since I've...
Yeah. Wait, hold on. Because apparently there are news outlets in New Zealand that shithead owns.
Huh. I'm looking this up. I need to investigate this. Oh, look at that. Well, thank you for telling me that, because I've been, like, quoting that, like, it's coming out of style. Let's see.
Is that something you would totally believe?
Yeah.
I mean, it completely sounds plausible.
Yes.
That's the thing. It speaks to... We believe it because we want to believe it because it's bias confirmation.
Right. But it's also completely... Is it? I guess I have to look at that. Is that? But
no. I just posted in the chat.
Let me see. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I mean, just a good example. I went and did. I double check. I did a double check when I saw the quote come out from Marginal Trailer Queen about Bill Gates's meat from Peachtree dishes.
I thought I even.
But because it worked so seamlessly, given that it's the same woman who told us that people were going to Republicans were going to be rounded up by the gazpacho police.
Oh yeah, well I mean what's the former Prime Minister of Australia did say that Rupert Murdoch was a cancer. So I mean that's
yeah that was who was that?
Let me look this up.
Oh, and since we got a little lull in the we've got a lull in the action, folks. We have $250 to go on Bruce's Memorial Challenge this evening. Sharon got us started at $50, and then, well, if we badly need to raise that $250 because there are bills waiting to be paid that are terrifying bills. You know, internet things that keep this program on the air, and. You know, things like power bills and car payments and insurance and all the things that make it possible for this program to continue to exist. So any help is great help. And I guess at $250 in the next 27 minutes, it would constitute an actual, no kidding, first time ever community-made Friday on the Front Porch, community-made miracle, horn-in version.
By the way, the person who said it was David McCormick.
Right.
In October of 2020, co-founder of a PR firm and former head of policy and communications for the Green Party.
But again, it
doesn't sound the least bit implausible.
Right. But he did say, this person did say, a huge reason that our politics is not so extremely polarized and so far out there is because we no longer have Murdoch-owned press in New Zealand. and it's never taken a foothold. So I think that's really it's a shame that I hate when that happens, when there are fake quotes and shit or whatever on in the liberal media side, because there's no need for it, and it also invalidates everything else, it seems, because then they can say, oh, look, see. But because I have to tell you, getting having the show and all, I'll get right wingers, and they'll friggin' tweet at me or whatever, and I can't even tell you how many times that they just like tweet fake quotes and it's, well,
they've been taught to do that.
Yeah,
you know, you got this fake historian David Barton, the wall builders,
right?
Who just makes up quotes that don't even work in historical context. But speaking of a guy named McCormick, David McCormick in PA has just recently conceded to Dr. Oz. So it's going to be John Fetterman versus Dr. Oz.
Oh my God.
In Pennsylvania, Dr. Oz lives in Jersey.
But all these fucking, like, dumb fucking reality stars. What? I mean, I can't even talk now. What?
So we got to, I got to hope that John Fetterman's pacemaker and everything.
Right. Well, he's
got everything settled down. He heals up and gets, because
Dr. Oz, what a joke.
He would be such a strong, strong voice in the Senate of the United States. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a guy who hung a pride flag in the Senate of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Nice.
And said, y'all come. Yeah, Molon Labe, motherfuckers, mm-hmm. Right?
Come
yeah.
and take it.
Yeah, what is it? Molon, wash your melon, something like that. But, and, you know, we've got a chance. We do have a chance. But McCormick has conceded, so that means that, and he's not just a reality TV star.
Oh, God.
He's a huckster. He's a snake oil salesman.
Yes.
He is a
He's a
charlatan.
This is what they have. This is the Republican Party.
Well,
that's how you become a
well-known Republican now.
Yeah,
you got to come up with a good grift.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, this is happy news. Former White House advisor Peter Navarro
is now
former White House indictor.
It's
former
great.
White House advisor indicted.
Yes,
Peter Navarro.
Good. About time. About fucking time. When are they going to indict Steve Bannon, or when are they going to get his ass in jail?
When are they going to indict Genghis Khan? I mean,
Genghis Khan. Genghis. I thought we were going back far.
No, Genghis Khan, COVID Caligula, Nitwit Nero.
What? Oh, I can't take this. Charity accuses soldiers of blow dart attacks on stray cats at a Hawaii Army base. Fuck you. Oh, my God. Don't get me going.
I keep doing that because I keep thinking that's a touch screen. I'm watching you touch screen.
I always touch screens now.
I have to use the mouse.
I always think that you can touch every screen now. It's just. But anyway, let's get back to what we were serious business.
Do we have any hands up in the Skype chat or anything?
Where?
Anybody?
Oh, somebody asked, do they make coffee around here? I need a cup of coffee.
Oh, they got, yeah. Well, you know, coffee comes in five grades: coffee, Java, Jamoke, Joe, and carbon remover. What's in there is no better than grade four.
I don't know. Is this a good thing?
No.
Oh, it's bad. Well, I can't go back to that deli. That bitch is going to, like, she's going to eye fuck me until I die. I went to this deli. So I've been having, I'm from New York. I don't know if that. If you can hear it in my voice, but I'm here in where the fuck am I? North Virginia or something?
You know what? One of the neat things, though, if you ever want to make people think if you want to hide your New Yorkness, just say, no, I'm from New Orleans. Because there's a portion of New Orleans where they sound like they sound like me? They sound like you.
Oh, really?
Absolutely.
How come?
Because of the... basically the trade routes.
Oh, wow, look
so
at
you'd
that.
Get,
interesting.
You'd get people from up east who would come down and settle, and they sound like they're from New York and New Jersey.
So I have an accent?
Okay. Yes, honey. Okay. Have an accent.
I asked this to my friend who was from England. I was like, do I have an accent? And he was like, no, do I? You know, like in his.
No, do I? Spam, remember.
Do I have an accent? But yeah, anyway. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, I had to get some aspirin because I had a little bit of a headache, and then I wanted to get some milk for the coffee in the morning and in the room. And so I went, there's a little local deli or something, I don't know what you call it here, convenience store.
Yeah, Rippy Mart.
Yeah, and so went down there, right, you know, it's like, whatever, it's very close here. And I just, it's, you know, I had a feeling, whatever, this place was going to be filled with Trumpanzees. So I did put my mask on. I put it on purposefully, frankly, because I wanted to see, like, their reaction. It was sort of like, you know, studying them. Like Jane Goodall studies the apes, I say. I study Trumpanzees. So I wanted to see their reaction in their environment, you know. And but I put this mask on. But the other thing is also, a friend of mine. Well, if people watch or listen to Tara Buster, Poppy Champlin, who is a one of the regulars, she got COVID now because she was doing shows up in P-Town, and she's like, I didn't wear my mask. I should have worn my mask, you know. And anyway, West Virginia has a very high rate of COVID transmission. It's according to the statistics. So I was like, fuck it, I'll put my mask on. This place looks like it's like riddled with COVID, really. I mean, you could just tell from the outside. There's like COVID. It's COVIDville, yeah. Right? And but the lady was, it was interesting though. She was, I swear to God, as I was getting my milk from the thing, and I could hear her saying Democrat, like under her voice, and whatever. And I went over and I was very nice. I was like, oh, can I have that Advil? And how much is that? And oh, thank you. And she wouldn't look at me. She wouldn't look me in the eye. And she would she couldn't talk to me initially. She wouldn't talk. And then I kept saying, oh, how much is that? Can I get the gel caps? Okay. Can I have two? You know, like just to keep the engagement going.
Just to be the devil. That's all.
And, but very nice to her.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, thank you. Have a great day. You know, you be good. You be good. And, I mean, it was just very bizarre, though. Why she? It seemed like she was, what was the word you used?
I have an explanation,
contempt.
Tara.
Yeah.
Quiet contempt.
Yes.
There's a reason for that, Tara.
Yeah.
In Sunday school, from age 5 on up, they teach little West Virginia children that never look a Democrat in the eye because the devil will inhabit your soul.
Yes, that's true. So. That's true. But it's funny to me because, you know, this is what I always say about the, even though, you know, I kid around. I don't like them, obviously. Because they're tedious and they are the albatrosses around our national neck and kind of things like that. But I'm not trying to hurt them. You know, I want to ensure that they have health care. You know, I want to ensure that they don't have to needlessly die or go on, you know, beg on GoFundMe if they get cancer. I don't want, you know what I mean? Like, I want them to have living wages and live a decent middle class life and shit like that.
Yeah, when she muttered Democrat under her, that is a relatively new phenomenon, Tara.
Mm.
Because this place was not just, you know, this wasn't sky blue or baby blue.
Mm.
This was bottom of the ocean, light doesn't pass through it blue for generations upon generations.
Right. Well, that's the Democrats' problem. That's what they did, though.
Well,
they
it's also, you know, again.
And Murdoch.
It's Murdoch. It's yeah. Fox News. And it's had a pervasive influence.
Yes.
It's truly toxic. But I wanted to say thank you to David across the table from me here. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. And thank you to Arthur. So we are now, let's see. What? No, that's the Skype line. We are deciphering. We are $215 away from meeting Bruce's Memorial Challenge. So thank you, David, and thank you, Arthur, and thank you, Sharon, for getting us started. We are 16 minutes away and $215 away from a first-ever live Friday on the Front Porch horn-in community-made miracle. Thank you, and hopefully we'll knock that down. But I wanted to share...
There's the cheapest.
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, God, I'm sorry. I thought I was on mute. My bad.
Oh, no. Hi, Tracy. Did you see that? I think you know, we said for a long time that, you know, if the person is even remotely trying to be a president, that the president, the person doesn't make the presidency. The presidency makes the person. Mm-hmm. I think Joe Biden is growing in the job. Mm-hmm. This is a beautiful thing. He had a press conference today, and somebody asked him about Elon Musk.
Oh shit.
Saying he cut the Tesla workforce by 10% and saying it's
him.
Because he thinks the economy is going to get very, very bad.
Yeah, he's so full of shit.
Well, yeah but behold the miracle that is Joe Biden throwing shade. This is a beautiful thing.
Elon Musk has said that he has a super bad feeling about the U.S. economy going up 10%. Say Elon Musk about his feeling about the economy. Jamie Dimon has said a similar thing.
Well, let me tell you, while Elon Musk is talking about that, Ford is increasing their investment overwhelmingly. I think Ford is increasing the investment in building new electric vehicles, 6,000 new employees, union employees, I might add, in the Midwest. The former Chrysler Corporation, Stellantis, they are also making similar investments in electric vehicles.
Here it comes.
Intel is adding 20,000 new jobs for making computer chips. You know, lots of luck in his trip to the moon. I mean, I don't...
Yes! Yes! You know. Yes! Yes!
Awesome. That's how you do it.
Lots... So, you know, good
That's
luck.
How you do it. Fuck off.
Lots of luck on his trip to the moon and your big dick rocket.
Right? Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
So, listening to that... Joe Biden, it sounds like
what Elon Musk is saying is that the economy is about to get bad for him with all of the competition that's about to come online from all of this, you know? And so that makes the economy bad
for everyone. Because it's all about him. That's another thing with him. I mean, and the Republicans, like, their love of Elon Musk is very... You can write, like, a 10-page paper on it. And you really need Freud to come in here and unpack their just obsequiousness for this fucking overgrown 12-year-old.
It comes back to that age-old philosophical question. You know, we put a man on the moon. Why can't we put Elon Musk on the moon?
right. But that's the thing. It also speaks to what I always say, that they lack the ability. What they really don't like democracy, because they don't want to share with people with darker pigment and anybody who's different, and this E pluribus unum goes way over their heads and whatnot. So that's why they love Elon Musk, because it's like they do want a king, they do want a big daddy to rule them and ensure that everybody stays in their little place. You know what I mean? As long as they're at the top of the heap, though, you see?
Right. Yeah, sure.
That's it. So, yeah. And that's why it's so fascinating to me. Well, it's not fascinating, but it's just so typical. Their flags, their overgrown flags, their overgrown, you know, everything with stars and, you know, all this kind of USA bullshit. This fetish, this fetishizing, this, you know, patriotism. It's like an act. You know, because the substance is so beyond them. But what are you doing? You're distracting me from my show. you're distracting me, Robin, on my show.
Well, you know, I'm just happy to be here. We
I'm just proud. I'm just proud that Joe Biden.
No, it's great. That's awesome. And I think the, you know, as far, I really do think
Bernie McGann, Joe, and yeah. Put a little stank on it.
Yeah, keep doing it. That's what has to happen. And I think maybe the Democrats, when that woman who what's her name, Molly something or other, Matt, something M something Irish, Molly's, you know, burn that
Molly
bitch.
Ivan.
Not Molly Ivins. She was a local representative, and some right winger started calling her a groomer. You know who I'm talking about? Yeah. And she took to and her rebuttal went viral, and she was like,
"Oh, up in Michigan, yeah. Up in Michigan, yeah."
Yeah, so
about a month ago, I think
she ever since then got a lot of play, and everybody saw it and whatnot, and even Hillary Clinton retweeted it and whatnot. So they all,
I'm a Christian.
Yeah, and she like really took it to them and said and exposed the complete moral bankruptcy of every of their argument, and or it's not even an argument; it's just a bunch of bullshit. So. I think I really do hope that the Democrats are growing a spine, you know, and pushing back, like enough with the fake duck hunting and enough with the I'm a gun owner, you know, like every time if you want to not forget the well regulated militia part of the Second Amendment, you have to begin the sentence with I love guns. You know, yeah. I got guns up my ass now.
That's something you and I were talking about earlier today. We need to
bullet up my ass. I got a gun up my ass, a bullet up my ass. I got guns everywhere. I love guns, but
you know, I eat my cereal in the morning with a gun.
Right? I just suck despair.
I suck the Cheerios up through the through the barrel. Yeah.
But you got to remember the old sugar pops where they were shot out of a gun.
That's true. Absolutely true.
Oh wow.
I need to give out some thank yous. Working our way down from $215. Thank you so much to Kevin and Tracy in Massachusetts. So this is Cyphering 100 down to 175. Thank you so much. And thanks to Cecilia, 165. So we are making our way down, and that is extremely helpful. Another thank you across the room. We're now down to 145. Thank you so much. From the Remote Horn Ad Hoc Research Department. Lee in New York says Senator Mallory McMorrow. Mm-hmm. Mallory McMorrow. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Zed, for jumping in. Thank you. We got a fighting chance here. The depth of the perfidy of January 6th, there's no basement.
Mm-hmm.
Now we find out that the Secret Service actually warned Mike Pence's staff on January 5th that Nitwit Nero was going to publicly turn against his vice president, and it might result in danger to Mike Pence's life.
What? Yeah. When does this come out? Today?
Yeah, Maggie Haberman.
Taking a nap?
Times.
What?
Yeah.
That's why he didn't get the car.
Holy shit. Wow.
Well, speaking of crazy, there's a standoff at a hospital down the street from my house.
A standoff? What?
What?
So there was a stabbing at Casino Hospital. Several stabbings. One person. I put the story in the chat, and now Jan just because she called me to tell me
the way that
I go home to go a different way because I'll never get home.
Hmm.
Because now they SWAT is on the way.
Jesus Christ!
One of the staff victims out because the hospital that after that, it's a hospital adjacent, and so they don't have a trauma center, so they had to airlift, I guess, this person to the trauma center. They got them out, but now this person is barricaded in the hospital.
Oh Jesus!
Wow.
and SWAT is on the way. So I guess it's like, well, at least it's, we're in California. I guess at least it's not a gun.
Mm, right. But this, I wonder if this is when the Republicans are going to say, see? It
wasn't about the gun.
Yeah. Mental health.
That's what I'm saying. It's mental health.
Right.
And, you know,
exactly.
And
mental health. They give
bullshit,
a shit about
bullshit. But now, somebody was talking about the NRA now earlier. I'm like, well, only thing we need to do as far as, you know, trying for them to change their position, you know, just think back in the 60s when the Black Panther Party rolled up on 0666 as well.
Yeah.
On the state capitol with their guns because they were, you know, using their Second Amendment rights. And all of a sudden, the NRA was behind gun control. So I'm just saying, I don't like guns, but I'm actually considering getting one at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, I would learn how to use it. I would store it safely. And I would only need one gun.
Right.
But it's like if more Black people, literally more Black people,
right,
got off and started buying guns, there would be—I guarantee fucking tea.
You better believe it. Yep.
We would have gun reform.
That's right. You're absolutely right. If every Black person in this country bought an assault weapon, you better believe there'd be a fucking assault weapons ban.
Sure. Yesterday.
Yeah.
You know it.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Yep.
I mean, and again, I think assault weapons, again, the only purpose for an assault weapon is to kill people. It's an anti-personnel. It's just, how many clips can you,
right,
you know, how many bullets are in an assault rifle and all this other stuff? It is just beyond me. But like, I mean, only thing you got to do if you want white people to do the right thing, just let them know that Black people are for it.
Right.
And that'll be the end of it.
Holy fuck.
And that'll be the end of it.
Yep. Well, that's why I always
say that. Right, Tracy. Hey, everyone. It's Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Hi. It's very exciting. It's a real Front Porch Friday. It's awesome. But Tracy,
thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome, Tracy. I'm really proud of you. And I know everybody. No. Everybody in the congregation is.
I'm really concerned.
Go ahead, Tracy.
Then I start grad school in August, so that's
all right.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm very excited about this program. It's a brand new program. This will only be the third cohort. It's a master's in diverse community leadership development. And that coupled with my bachelor's in Africana studies.
Yeah,
don't come for me.
Yeah. So I want to be clear here, Tracy. This is your gap month.
Because my fellow students, they're like Miss Tracy because they were all fetuses, and I told one of them because they were getting kind of ruly in class, and I said, "Listen, boy, I can still smell the breast milk on your breath."
That's
awesome.
Okay. I will have forgotten more than you have learned in your scant 20 some odd years on this earth. So please shut up.
That's hilarious.
But you know what? I mean, if you look at the crystal ball come November, look at what these fucking rat fucking Republicans have planned for the polling places.
I know.
They're going to turn up the intimidation to like 11 or 13, you know.
It's
and so, you know what?
Whatever.
People of color may need to pack going to vote.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is, I'm thinking deacons of, you know, deacons of defense, Negro with guns. I mean, this is,
I have never in my life
considered owning a weapon in my life. The last time I held a weapon in my hand and actually used a weapon was when I was in basic training in the Army. Mm-hmm. That's the last time, and that was 20 fucking years ago. You know, so, but the way things are going, I'm like, you know what?
I
it is not out of fear.
Okay.
It's not out of fear. At this point, it's out of necessity.
It's not a reality.
Yeah,
it's not a reality.
Yeah,
because I don't fear nobody, and as anybody that knows me, I will get in a motherfucker's face. I don't care, you know. And they, and I don't. I'm tired of white people. I'm tired of white men. I'm tired of limousine liberals. I'm tired of so-called allies. I'm just tired of the Democratic Party. You know. I've been mad since 2013, ever since we had Eric Holder, Barack Obama, and the Democratic Party set they trifling asses back and said and did nothing. Yeah. John Roberts decimated the Voting Rights Act.
I know.
Yep. And so it's when people, when black folks ask, when people ask the question to black people, why we should vote for the Democratic Party.
Right.
And I'm like, and I have to start finding reasons to, for us to vote for the Democratic Party.
There's only one reason, lesser of two evils. That's the only reason.
This is not the lesser of two evils, because, I mean, it's between kind of, you know, because, let's face it, the Democratic Party, we're sorry, like Tara was saying earlier, a lot of the blame lies on our party. Because, you know, sitting back and just both-siderism and trying to reach across the aisle. Motherfucker, if you keep trying to reach across the aisle, you're going to come back with a bloody stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And until Democrats like Joe Biden threw mad shade on Elon Musk, good on him.
Yeah.
But until Democrats start calling up these motherfuckers out and say, by the way, the reason why these shootings are happening is because your governor, insert governor, your senator, insert senator, your congressperson, that person, is allowing this shit.
Yes.
The reason why you don't have a living wage is because insert this person, insert that, call these motherfuckers out.
Yes.
I want the Democratic Party, the entire party, to turn into an angry black woman.
Mm-hmm.
Realistically, there's a way to make that happen. Maybe it's about time that the Democratic Party, for instance, in the House of Representatives, be led by an angry black woman.
Mm.
Maybe it's, wait, do we have an angry black woman in the Senate?
No. We don't have any black women in the Senate.
And when
she was there, she was an angry black woman. So.
No,
he's Republican.
David, Tim Scott is not an angry black woman. Now, don't be bitchy about it, okay?
He's the one that said there is no racism in America, fucker.
That's because that's what John Roberts told him to say.
But that's when I say, you know, if there's no racism in America, which I actually have to say that, who's the guy that, well, he used to be the head of, Ben Jealous actually retweeted my tweet, so I was very happy about that. But
you have arrived.
I know. But because I said, I didn't call him Uncle Tim, but if there's no racism in America, then why? I said, then, so I can't remember how he put it, but it was like, because the intergenerational wealth of people of color it's $5,000 per family as opposed to $100,000 for white people. So is that because of that must be because they are inherently $5,000
white American exceptionalism.
Right. Is that that's not racism? You know, he must then believe that every family with darker pigment is just not working hard enough or something.
We are not working hard enough.
Yeah.
Where's your goddamn food scraps, Tracy? Come on now.
It's like I got into I suffer no fools. So I only listen to when right wingers start talking on different shows that I listen to, I just turn it off because I'm like, the fact that you even give why you give these people any, we only have a finite amount of airtime. We only have a finite amount of shows where we can express who we are and what this country needs. And for these people who continually let these motherfuckers talk on their show, fuck them.
Yeah.
But when I had a friend of mine that we used to be friends,
but he is now a gay Republican, and I still can't work. I don't understand. But he's a rich white man, so that supersedes his gayness, because his pockets supersede his gayness as far as being a Republican. Because he basically called me as a blue person an idiot for being a Democrat, and I said, voting for the Republican Party, because he tried to pull that, you know, the party of Lincoln, and I said, fuck Lincoln.
Jesus, really?
Because Lincoln didn't give a fuck about
fucking Lincoln.
Out that Trump play.
Oh, what a joke.
You know?
You got to go back to 18, okay. You know.
I said, let Miss Tracy tell you why. And I'm going to say, so you want me as a black woman to vote for a party that literally hates me, that literally, like you were saying, when you walked into that store, they called you a Democrat under her voice.
Yeah,
now,
right.
What the hell do you think they were going to call me had I walked
Oh, shit.
In?
So, right.
Okay.
Yeah, we know
you
that.
You want me to vote for a party that is doing everything within their power to keep people like me from being able to vote, okay? Hey, how am I going to vote for the motherfuckers if I can't vote? Then I said, how? I said, then you want me to vote for a party that is doing everything within their power to erase me, not just as a black woman, but
that's
as
right.
a queer person,
yep.
because I'm not supposed to fucking exist.
Yep.
So, you tell me why. Explain to me why I should vote with all this same thing. Y'all tell me why I should vote Republican.
Right.
You.
Because of 1865? Because fucking
right,
Abraham Lincoln?
You know, I mean, that's still 1865, buddy. I mean, I'm talking 21st
and
century,
yeah,
motherfucker. It's
yeah,
like, yo.
I mean, this is the thing about, you know, American history, too. There's a lot of shades of gray as well, as far as Lincoln. And the American people don't even know that he tried every other fucking option.
Frederick Douglass.
Exactly. In fact, Frederick Douglass was like, fuck this, I'm out of here. And then Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation, and then he was like, all right, I'll stay. Because he went to England during a time, and he wasn't treated like dirt. And he was like, holy shit, I could get used to this, you know? Yeah. And
this being a human, this being
right.
this being five-fifths of a human being has kind of got something
exactly.
going for
so, yeah. you know, but
hey,
they...
Robin?
Yeah, Scott?
The thing about Frederick Douglass, he almost didn't get to go to dinner with Lincoln because the guy met him at the gate and challenged him. And it wasn't until somebody came out and vouched for him
Jesus Christ.
That he even got in to have dinner.
Right.
I mean... It's embedded so deep in this country that it seems almost insurmountable,
right.
but we know it's not because there are more of us than there are of them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Tracy, think about this. In Florida, it between the critical race theory laws and the don't say gay laws, to even say your name, you'd probably be hauled off to jail.
Right.
Well, let's take something else into account in Florida as well. White supremacist adjacent Florida Governor Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis, who only became governor with the actual real, no kidding, help of real live, honest to God, no kidding Nazis, is now engaged. He is now going to force fully grown trans people to detransition.
Unbelievable, right? How
against their will.
I don't understand.
Against their will.
How do you, and then you call yourself, freedom
loving patriot.
Freedom,
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Freedom.
And pro-life, just not pro, you know, because trans lives don't matter.
Right. You're
don't
just
matter.
Like nothing as far as the no rugged individualism going on here. Like, what the fuck?
I mean,
like,
I don't mean to be, you know, fragile or anything, but the idea of being compulsorily detransitioned
is
terrifying to me. It is absolutely terrifying.
A crime against humanity.
Because
that's what it is.
I feel so bad for the trans guys and the trans girls and the non-binaries in Florida who are facing the possibility of not being able to obtain.
Yeah, because some fucking Nazi decrees it because of his political, expedience.
Well, because
he's appealing to horrible.
And make no mistake, in a place like Florida, the campaign donations will roll in, and the campaign and the campaign contributions to DeSantis's PAC from outfits like the Family Research Council, who got their first mailing list from David Duke and the Klan,
that's right.
From the Alliance Defending Freedom. I mean, I watched a commentary in real time yesterday out of Columbus as the Republicans attacked trans kids.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, transgender athletics, transgender kids, you know, gender affirming care for kids, and the people driving that were the Alliance Defending Freedom.
Jesus Christ.
And they and remember, it's like the offertory hymn we play on prayer meeting Wednesday, and it's all tax free. Hallelujah. Mm. Because all these outfits that are pumping all this money into all these politicians are 501c4s, and the money that comes into the 501c3s is tax free. And so there's no disincentive not to do these evil things.
Right, and it is evil. That's the word for it. Yeah. Totally evil.
Well, there is some good news with voting rights. Did y'all hear about the New York State Voting Rights Act?
No.
That is called the John Lewis Voting Rights Act.
Mm.
Basically, it's a big fuck you to the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court, rather.
Yes.
Right.
You know, saying that we don't give a fuck of what they do. All the shit that they snatched out of the Voting Rights Act, they put in to have someone the strongest. It's the New York Voting Rights Act just passed in the assembly, and New York is going to have one of the nation's strongest state voting rights acts. And it's like all those the pre-qualifications, all the shit that they. You cannot do shit.
Jelly bean counting.
If you try it in the state of New York, don't try it because it ain't happening. So basically, the recourse is, and unfortunately, in these fucking MAGA states, there's no state recourse for people that look like me to vote, depending on the state legislature. But states like New York and we're going to probably do the same thing in California to make it a law that you cannot fuck with the person's right to vote.
Right.
Yeah, at all. You know? Well, I've got to make a couple of announcements. Thank you, Tara. Tara finished off the community made Friday on the Front Porch in person.
All right.
Miracle. so that will be doubled. Namaste. That's the only word I know.
It's all right.
But thank you. Thank you so much.
Of course.
And also from Zed, if we can get 5 new subscribers at $10 a piece this month, Zed will double your subscription. So your $10 subscription for your first month will actually become 20, which is really kind and really generous. And he wanted us to know that he'll also kick $50 toward Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen and the Green News Report, which is just awesome because I know we all enjoy that. And I've met Brad and Desi precisely once in Vegas at Netroots Nation a million years ago. I'd like to see him again sometime.
I met them too. They're awesome.
Oh, they are. They absolutely are. They just absolutely are.
At
so,
Netroots Nation.
We have got to. I've got a bunch of cleaning up to do from the big dinner, and got to be out of here by 9. So I'm going to go ahead and close this off. I would have been on air earlier. We would have been on air earlier, but I had to put in credentials for the Horn Streamer and everything. I'll get the podcast up ASAP. And thank you, everybody. Thanks to everybody who jumped in on the front porch. Stand by. Stand by. Okay. And thank you to Bernadette. I didn't. Oh, and okay. And thank you to MJ for jumping in as well. So we are set and to the good for the beginning of June. I cannot tell you what a relief that is. Thank you. And Joey, thank you for coming by. You just made this so sweet. I've got a little tiny license plate for Chris in Portland here, and Joey didn't know who was going to show up and who didn't, so we've got this. See, it's a real tiny license plate, or I couldn't make a noise like that with it.
Here's some of the other ones.
Yeah, there's a tiny license plate for Arnold in PA.
Oh my God!
For Todd in South Carolina.
So cute.
For Rico in DeBerg. For Lady B, the B stands for brilliant, and for Ron in Raleigh. And so we got to figure out a way to get these in the mail or something. Yeah. So I need addresses, y'all.
Yeah, and also Matt in San Francisco, Tom in Sunny San Rafael.
Tom in Sunny San Rafael, Matt in San Francisco.
And our favorite lady in the Northwest.
Oh, Jude?
Jude, yeah. Those three didn't get me.
And those three didn't get...
love you, Jude.
Yes, indeed. Jude heard you and heard Tracy and said... with regard to hearing you, Tara, she said that she remembered how many years ago was it now in the North Georgia mountains?
Oh, God. I don't know.
That was December of 2018.
Yeah, okay, no, but this was... But the next one where Jude was June of 2019. Yes.
Holy shit.
So almost exactly 3 years ago.
How does time fly so fast?
Blows my mind. It absolutely blows my mind.
It feels like, yesterday, really. So
there's another day of Horn In yet tomorrow, and I think this is really exciting. Beckley Pride is tomorrow, and some of us are actually going to Beckley Pride, and that's just going to be super wonderful.
Yeah, that'll be great.
So there will be photographs. There will be photographs on social media, and we are just going to have a wonderful time, and then we'll come back here and have another big meal. And this one, I think instead of being all enclosed in here, tomorrow's going to be the most beautiful day of 2022 thus far. And I'm thinking there's a couple of picnic tables by the pool.
Yeah, let's do it, and
it's covered.
Why not?
Let's hang out and lounge by the pool, y'all.
I think that sounds like
shall
a plan.
We?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Robin, it was a gorgeous day today.
Yes.
It did pretty up, didn't it?
It did. Robin brought the weather, so.
I told you. I mean, it's a law of nature. This in this part of the country, it does not rain on the first Saturday in June.
Really?
You might get a little shower in the morning. You might get a little drizzle at night, but during the bulk of the day, it does not rain on the first Saturday in June in West Virginia.
That's
great.
At
least in this part of West Virginia. So I don't know. Maybe looking down the road, maybe this becomes a tradition.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be fantastic.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
And yeah, I like the facility we're at here. Maybe if we get more people participating and participating early, we could do cabins or things like that. That would be awesome.
Tara, who? What? Tara's like
that's
second
Arthur.
Host.
That's Arthur. Arthur.
Yeah,
Arthur's.
I am. A second host. Yeah, I'm just kidding.
No, you are.
I am your mother now. I am your father.
Yes, mommy.
All right, Tara, you got to do your show now.
Okay. All right, let's do it. I could do it. It just it never shut up.
I'll be the sidekick. but thanks, everybody. Thanks to each and every one of you. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this long-running conversation in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. I wasn't in the chat room. I don't know who's in there right now, so thank you. Thank you to for all the help. Hey, Roger, thank you in the Skype chat. Was Steve around?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. But.
Okay. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. This, and now a union shop for several months now.
This would be a great time to reach out to your elected representative, your member of the House, and ask them to please co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AIC Act. It really does mean the world to Appalachia. Got a little misty today talking about the mountains getting blown up. I'm prone to doing that lately. But do please, and stay safe. Get your second booster. Wear your mask. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Keep your social distance. And
feed the trumpansies.
Yeah, don't feed the trumpansies. And if somebody comes wandering up to you saying, I'm afraid the economy is going to be really awful. Well, just wish him well on his mission to the moon.
Right.
And avoid that and avoid that guy like the plague. Ugh. Because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.